Starring Pendragon Melon. A Melon fanfiction written by Anonymous and read by Lunchy. Arthur is a BNF and Melon is his prized beta.
The internet is really, really great.
For porn.
I've got a fast connection so I don't have to wait.
For porn.
What? There's always some new site.
For porn.
I browse all day and night.
For porn.
It's like I'm surfing at the speed of light.
For porn.
Guinevere 80 says, Okay. Tell me everything. Melon_is_onLJ, melon on AO3, mer.lin@gmail, m.emris on his university email, and darling boy to his mother, sat back in the comfortable nest of pillows that he'd made in the middle of his bed and smiled before he continued. Mer.lin says, he commented on one of my fics. Guinevere80 says, OMG, CNP, please now. Mer.lin says, you could just go and look. It's on my LJ. It's the one where they go out hunting and have to huddle in the caves for warmth. Guinevere80 says, wait, looking. OMG. OMG. You have a lovely way with the characters. It really feels like you've established an authentic voice here, and one I've not read before in this fandom. OMFG! You bastard! Mer.lin says, IKR! Guinevere80 says, so, what now?
Merlin bit his lip, and then functioned F9 quickly to get up the window where he'd been sitting, trying to work out what to say back for the last half an hour. He'd nearly hyperventilated when he got the notice in his inbox, and he'd clicked, because let's face it, Merlin didn't get many comments. And then he'd seen the name. Oh god. The name. Pendragon. Pendragon! Everyone knew Pendragon. Since Stars Camelot had started, Pendragon had been there. He'd been in other fandoms before, he was a BNF in SGA, and he dabbled a bit in Legend of the Seeker, and he was known for that one Harry Potter fic he wrote where everyone was actually in an insane asylum. But Camelot. Yeah, that was where he was known. Ask at Camelot Fit Finders for a noob to the fandom search, and you'd get reply after reply. Pendragon. Just read everything that Pendragon has ever done, now. And Merlin, who had been lurking on Pendragon's journal like some crazy, creepy stalker, had a comment from him! And his heart had leaped and he'd got all excited, which was probably even more crazy and creepy than just stalking around on the guy's LJ, and now he didn't know what to do. The chat window buzzed.
Guinevere80 says, you still there? Sorry I caps locked at you. Pendragon! Mer.lin says, I know.
Guinevere80 had a crush on Pendragon that was a mile wide and probably about 40 miles deep. She loved the guy. Like, truly loved him, to the point where Merlin knew she'd gotten him into trouble on Anon memes. The 47th straight fail fandom Anon, is Pendragon really a guy thread, had descended into transwank alarmingly quickly. And Merlin also knew she'd read everything he'd written about 50 times. No hyperbole. Sometimes, Merlin wondered what Pendragon saw in fandom. There was only so much, he's only popular because he's got a cock. Fuck you! Kyriaki! I call troll! That someone could take. Surely. I've got a cock too, Merlin thought. It's just, I don't wave it around everywhere. Metaphorically, of course. If Pendragon waved his cock around, perhaps via webcam, there was every chance that the entirety of LJ would explode, crash and burn. Worse than that time ONTD claimed to have actual pictures of Pine and Quinto kissing. And Merlin would be right there with the meltdown. Right fucking there. Because he might have a cock, but it was a lonely cock, waiting for the right kind of guy to magically make his way through the computer screen to Merlin and suck it. Or whatever. Whatever would be good. Anything would be good.
Guinevere80 says, daydreaming? Mer.lin says, and how? Guinevere80 says, look, just do something else for 20 minutes. Calm the fuck down, and then thank him nicely for his comment, and ask him if he'd like to cyber. Mer.lin says,
When are you from? 1996? Guinevere 80 says, I am jealous, like a jealous thing, you ass. But you have to reply. You can't not reply.
Merlin, are you coming down for tea?
Shit! Was that the time?
Merlin looked at the clock. Yes, yes, that was indeed the time. Sorry, he yelled back. Coming!
Murdoch Lynn says, sorry, tea time. BBL? Guinevere 80 says, I will expect to read your reply ASAP! Also, TTYL. Hugs. Murdoch Lynn says, hugs. TTYL.
He shut the lid of his laptop and clambered out of bed, pulling on his slippers before dashing downstairs. My life, thought Merlin. Not even remotely glam or high-flying or anything. Living with my mum in a council flat. But shit, he had a comment from Pendragon, and he was going to ride high on this all week.
Hello, Sword. Meet Stone. Wart. Posted in Knights Need a Beta. I need a beta. Someone who has read T.H. White, if possible. My usual beta is off tripping around Europe for a month or two and can't get to the fic right now. It's long. I've done the first 30k, but I'm anticipating 80 by the end. Need someone willing to brainstorm ideas. It's a Merlin Lives Backwards Through Time prompt. Kind of grown since the original plan. Cheers.
80k. Merlin pursed his lips. It was a lot, but he'd read White. Fuck, he loved White. And it wasn't like he was actually going to do his coursework. Well, he'd do enough, but the lure of fic was way too much. And it was technically practice. Can't do a degree in editing without editing something. And he'd much rather edit the sexy adventures of his fictional namesake than his actual uni work, which had rather different mistakes. A lot less romance, and definitely no porn. He dismissed the idea that he was ignoring Pendragon's comment. And if he could surround it in little hearts, he would. He'd already screen-capped it for posterity. He wasn't avoiding, or ignoring, or anything else-ing. He was participating, shit, that was an ing, in fandom. And meeting people. And stopping being such an NNF that he got 7 responses to anything he posted if he was lucky. Guinevere 80 wrote Hot Night Slash and got a decent comment count. He was fortunate, he supposed, that she'd picked him up as a project to work on. He wasn't sure how he felt about being a project. It felt a bit clueless, and not in a good way. But she told him that if he wanted to get to know people in fandom, he had to make the effort. Okay then.
Reply from Merlin underscore is underscore. I can do it. I love White. And I guess you can tell my favourite character from my username. PM me and we can swap email addresses.
He paused and added one more thing before he hit post.
I'm good with grammar and spelling. I'm good with character continuity. I call it like I see it, so if you're looking for someone to be sycophantic, that's probably not me.
And then he opened the comment box on Pendragon's comment and stared at it. Maybe, if he stared like a crazy man, then some words would come up, starting off all blobby like a capture, and then magically forming themselves into exactly the right thing to say that wouldn't come off like a squealing fanboy. Merlin typed into the box, and then deleted, and then again, and then again. It was like a list.
Things not to write to someone you've only talked to twice, and when I say talked, I mean a brief online comment of about 200 words. Your comment made me happy in my pants. Did you want to maybe talk about collaborating on something? If I was a girl, which I'm not, are you gay? I hope you are. Then I would seriously like to have your baby. Did you want to friend me? I'm friended to you. You can see all my private entries. All of them. Just saying. I notice you live in London. I also live in London. Want to get a drink?
Merlin thought about just mashing the keypad for a little while, and then he decided to go the route of cool, calm, and collected.
Hi, Pendragon. Thanks for the comment. You really made my day. Cheers, M. XXX.
The kisses were probably a little much. Were they a little much? Probably. He hit post anyway, and then closed his eyes, and savoured the moment just a little more. Just a little. He opened his eyes, realized it was gone midnight, closed the lid of his laptop, slid it under his pillow, and turned out the lamp, still savoring the moment until after he'd gone to sleep.
Been reincarnated too many times. Pendragon, posted in Once and Future. So how are we, Flist? I don't care about you, but I had an awesome weekend. Just awesome. And what did I do, I hear you ask? Dad was out of town, so respite from the meeting lovely daughters of work colleagues, old friends, and random people from off the street thing he's been pulling lately. Thank God. So instead of entertaining some daddy's little princess, this boy got to stay in and have a S1 marathon. Fuck yeah. I had forgotten how fine my namesake is. Yes please, JCB. You can pull your sword out of my stone at any time. Percy has pics if you've forgotten what happens when the once and future king gets smouldering and pouty. Go here and marvel at his nice long sword. And what else? The big one progresses. I know, I keep promising you this shit, but it's taking time. Hit a milestone on Saturday, and let's just say we're talking many zeros after the number in word counts. Hell to the yes! It's a wonderful feeling, knowing you're making something this big and bringing it into the world. No, M-Preg jokes. Thanks, had enough of them last time. And Green Girdle, I am looking at you. I've hit a snag in one bit, but I'm hoping to get past it in this next week. I'm debating whether or not I'll go to the SFX Weekender later in the year. They've just announced a few more guests, and there's people I'd like to go and see, but damn, I never leave the house. I'll probably combust if I hit sunlight. But then, there's a rumour that the Camelot cast are going to be there, and if that's the case, I'm on it. I don't care if I combust, or even if I sparkle. I might need someone to hold my hand when I'm getting autographs, though, in case I spontaneously forget how to breathe. Oh, you laugh. I've done it before. Peace out. ETA. I wasn't, asking for hand-holding volunteers. I'll let you know closer to the time, okay? From wart@gmail.com to mer.lin@gmail.com. I've shared the big one with you. For access to the document, click here. Hi, Melon. I'd appreciate it if you didn't talk too much about this to other people in the fandom, yeah? I know, I'm paranoid. My friend Elle started on the beta, but it's spun out into something longer, and I just don't know how to finish it without Melon looking really skeevy towards Arthur. I've tried to adopt White's idea of Melon aging backwards through time. And I bet you get the Bermuda reference, huh? But I want Arthur to have to step up and take care of Melon rather than the other way around. Arthur. Come on, is Melon your real name? Extract from G-Docs.
Merlin was struggling. Arthur could see it in his old friend's face, in the hunch of his body, in the way that he stumbled as they made their way to the cave.
No!
Cried Merlin. I can't go there.
What's the reasoning on the M-dash before the exclamation mark? It's clumsy.
Merlin, 6th of January 2011, 17.54.
Wait, what? Arthur asked. We'll die of exposure out there.
I remember, said Merlin, breathlessly. It was cold in the crystals. It was so cold. It was like a hall of mirrors. Only you don't have those anymore, do you? You don't.
Rhetorical questions need question marks too, unless you're not intending for this to be rhetorical.
Merlin, 6th of January 2011, 17.55.
Ding! Got it in one, gold star for you.
Arthur Wart, 6th of January 2011, 17.58.
You don't know what I'm... You don't have those yet, I mean.
Merlin! Arthur exclaimed, taking both of his shoulders. Merlin, tell me what's happening. What's wrong with you? You're babbling.
I'm not supposed to be here, said Merlin deliriously. I'm supposed to be where there's electric heating and antibiotics. Well, hell, half the magic I do could easily be done with antibiotics.
Nice. I like this, but for fuck's sake, get rid of the adverb. The dialogue conveys that he's delirious without us being told.
Merlin, 6th of January 2011, 17.55.
Arthur made his decision, seeing the older man shivering and delirious.
All right, he said. On to the cave.
The cave was big, with huge crystals.
Come on! You can do a better description than big with crystals. Seriously.
Merlin, 6th of January 2011, 17.55.
Merlin shook his head when he saw it.
No, we have to get out of here, he breathed. I can't be in here, not when I'm weakened like this. I won't be able to stop it.
What?
Arthur asked, nudging a crystal with the toe of his boot.
What do you think makes them glow like that? Magic?
He turned around.
Merlin?
Arthur walked back to where he'd left Merlin and realized there was a new crystal there. One in the shape of a man, hunched in on himself, trying to protect his body from... What? He looked closer. Not just any man. This man was familiar. It was Merlin. Merlin had been turned into a crystal. And Arthur was alone.
Stopping here for the night. Dinner soon. But just want to say, OMG, your dialogue tags! You write this great dialogue, and then you smash it up with adverbs and set bookism! I'll fish you up some links tomorrow to explain what I mean. But dude, you can't be afraid of the word said. Actually, here's an exercise we did in one of my classes. You get a book and change all of the saids into something else. Appropriate, obviously. And then you read it aloud using the dialogue tag to tell you what it should sound like. Do it and see how much of an ass you sound like.
Merlin, 6th of January 2011, 17.59.
I can tell you it doesn't change Dan Brown very much at all.
Arthur Wart, 6th of January 2011, 18.04.
You read Dan Brown? You are dead to me.
Merlin, 6th of January 2011, 18.05.
Hey, look. Sorry if I get pissy with you. It's just hard getting a thorough concrete. I really appreciate the detail you're going into. Al is awesome, but Camelot just isn't his thing, and I think he skims half of what I do.
Arthur Wart, 6th of January 2011, 18.06.
Friend from an old fandom?
Merlin, 6th of January 2011, 18.06.
Friend from school. IKR. We used to write fic for HP during prep instead of doing our English essays. Boarding mistress caught us once and made me read it out in front of the whole room. Hint, it was Harry Draco Porn.
Arthur Wart, 6th of January 2011, 18.08.
OMG. I don't know whether that's adorable or creepy.
Merlin, 6th of January 2011, 18.09.
Sort of both. Once you've been through that together, you're friends for life. Peace out, man. Have a good night.
Arthur Wart, 6th of January 2011, 18.14.
Guinevere 80 says,
You wimp.
Myrdotlin says, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Wart used G-Docs, and it had taken Merlin 10 minutes to work out the keyboard shortcut for commenting. And then he'd freaked the fuck out when he realized that Wart was in the document with him. It felt creepily like someone was reading over his shoulder. Wart was good. Really good. The story was... Fuck, sure, it needed some polish. He hadn't even got into some of it. But the fundamental story, the characters, this was going to be a new fandom classic. Wart, Arthur, was going to be one of those people who came out of bloody nowhere and everyone wanted to be their friend, and Pendragon would probably comment on his fic or friend him or something, and Merlin would stand in the shadows and maybe a few people would read his credit line on the beta. He wasn't stupid. He knew how these things went. Beta credit was credit, but aside from a few highly specialized places, betas weren't exactly at the top of the fandom tree. And it wasn't that he was after the highest branch or anything. Merlin thought in complex mixed metaphors sometimes, and sometimes he thought in simple symbolism, and sometimes he thought he was actually insane. It had just been nice to be known. Like when people had a filtered post because the meme was bitching on them. He'd like to be in on that.
Guinevere 80 says, Fine, ignore me then. I just discovered the static collection for Morganfest at AO3. I may be some time. Guinevere Morgan Smut. Yes. Myrdotlin says, Sorry, not ignoring you. I just volunteered to do a beta job from someone, and to be honest, it's not even finished, and I'm jealous. Guinevere 80 says, Right, so Pendragon commenting isn't enough for you anymore? You want more? 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 Myrdotlin says, Damn right, and once I take over the world, you can have Australia. Guinevere 80 says, Sure thing, Dr. Horrible. OMG, why didn't you take the chance to engage him in conversation, or at least demonstrate that you're not vapid and dismissive? Myrdotlin says, Vapid and dismissive? Guinevere 80 says, You didn't even address the points he made in his comment, and you ended with kisses! Kisses! Points for effort, but minus points for stupid! Myrdotlin says, I'd stared at the window for an hour and a half. If I hadn't typed something, it was going to burn into my screen.
Oh, God, the kisses had been stupid. He contemplated shutting his computer down now and just walking away from all this. Getting a normal hobby outside in the sunshine, kicking a ball or something. And he sighed. Pendragon wouldn't actually notice if Merlin left. Fandom wouldn't notice. He had to just do this for fun and not the approval of others, or else he was going to turn into a crazy person.
Guinevere 80 says, poor puppy. So, want to join me in being a crazed fangirl and getting ticks to the SFX thing? Carl Urban's going, and the guy you like from Sherlock. Myrdotlin says, it's not for months, and this timing is extremely suspicious. Guinevere 80 says, bite me. I'm ordering them this weekend. Do you want to or not? Myrdotlin says, let me think about it closer to the time. I might just go and bury my head for a while if it's all the same to you. Guinevere 80 says, is this about the kisses? I'm sure he gets worse on his blog every day. Worst you've done is scare him off for commenting on your blog. Myrdotlin says, really not helping. Guinevere 80 says, fine, fine. I'll be reading if you want to talk later. Go hide your head. Myrdotlin says, the shame, it burns. Guinevere 80 says, at least go and have a wank or something, will you? You worry me. Myrdotlin says, this feeling you have, it is mutual. Don't ever tell me to have a wank again, or I'll have to check my bedroom for hidden cameras. Guinevere 80 says, your bedroom? I had them installed in the shower.
Merlin laughed. She could make him feel better, even though her motives for wanting to go to this SFX thing were as transparent as a pane of glass. What if, he thought, what if Pendragon is some freaky, hairy guy with a long beard and his own loot? Like a bearded weirdie, rather than like his rather dishy JCB icon with pouty lips and deep, knowing eyes and hands that could handle a sword like a pro and... Oh, hello there. He debated the relative creep factor of actually following Gwen's advice, added the relative creep factor of wanking about a fan writer he'd met on the internet, in the sexy way, not in the caps lock way, and then decided that he should probably take a cold shower before he started sprouting hairs in the palms of his hands.
Myrdotlin says, okay, I'm off. Guinevere 80 says, okay, okay, I'll send you a rec post later. Totally. Later. Myrdotlin is offline. Messages you send will be delivered when Myrdotlin comes online. From myrdotlin@gmail.com to wart@gmail.com. Done! 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 R.E., the Morgan problem. Is the Morgan problem that this isn't her story? Like, you've said to me yourself that she's feeling shoehorned in. Maybe this is a trilogy or something. I don't know. I'm not feeling her. I want a better reason for her making the quest difficult. Like, not just randomly showing up to take her top off and laugh menacingly. It's kind of a hackneyed trope in this sort of genre, isn't it? The quest with plot coupons? Anyway, feel free to tell me to fuck off. That's just my opinion, and if you look at the newsletter, there's a fuck ton of fics that uses that trope and people love them. And it's not like people really like my fic, so I might not be on the right track here with the Camelot fandom as a whole. M. XXXX.
Arthur closed the window. Fuck. Myrdotlin was good. Amazing, really. So good. But had been right in their self-assessment. Merlin wasn't a sycophant, and wasn't nice about how they said things. Merlin just said them. It was novel. And Arthur was fighting that little voice inside that was saying, oh my god, just smash your computer, okay? Because some of the crit felt a bit like a punch to the gut. Arthur had always felt like fandom was the one thing he could do. He could get it right. People liked his fix. He'd started as a bit of an escape. Nice and cliché. A-levels had been taking over his life in those days, boarding school sucked, and his teachers were fucking awful. But when he posted a fic, he got, OMG more! Or praise, or whatever. He tried to block out the critics and the anon memes. That SGA fic, that fucking fic, the one he'd written when he was 19 and stupid. And now it got trotted out every time someone wanted to point out examples of fail with a capital F. He'd tried taking it down once, but that had just led to people passing bootleg copies, and he'd prefer to have control. Control, like he was some kind of pro. Myrdotlin was making him realise just how much he wasn't. It was a weird relationship, Writer and Beta. It was like stripping off in front of someone, just standing there naked with all your scars and your moles and your unfortunate wobbly bits. You did what you could to make it better. You did some manscaping, made sure you smelled good. But in the end, you were just naked. And the Beta, well, they did this massive job for free, didn't they? For the pleasure of seeing you in your naked state, they got to correct your work like a bloody teacher or surgeon or something. Tuck in the wobbly bits, or at least rearrange the lighting so they weren't so obvious. Arthur liked Betaing for his friends. They seldom needed more than a typo fix and a few pointed questions when they got off track, and they usually reciprocated when it wasn't 80,000 plus words he was asking for. But Murdoch Lynn had helped him, even though Arthur was using his sock puppet to ask for a Beta. Merlin had come to help, even though Merlin had no idea who Arthur was. Most people ignored his sock when he took it out into the comms. But Merlin had... He could have asked on once in future. But he'd get the people who waffled on at him about their cats, or asked him to use more epithets or whatever. There was that one creepy one who had commented on how similar his porn was to her sex life with her husband. Ugh. It was better this way. This way, there was no hurt feelings. Murdoch Lynn had baited 30k in a week, and thoroughly. It wasn't fair to let Merlin think that Wart was the writer, not when Arthur was going to post it to Once in Future, not when Arthur needed to credit Merlin there. It would be stupid, like, really stupid, to just spring it out as a surprise. For all the brusqueness of the commentary on the fic, Merlin seemed like a nice person. No, he wouldn't tell Merlin yet. Not yet. Get the next bit done. That's mercenary, his conscience said, and he sighed. Fuck off, conscience. You didn't get me to do that report for Tuesday. You're not going to guilt me now. So what reason do you have to think he won't do the rest of the story if he knows you're Pendragon? None, Arthur realized. He didn't really have a good reason. He tapped his teeth with his thumb ring, and then typed Mer.Lin's LJ address. Okay, Merlin. No dot. He was thinking of the guy, girl, shit, he didn't know. It's just Merlin. Oh god, no wonder the name had seemed familiar. Merlin had written that other fic with the caves. The one that had inspired the scene with the crystals. Fuck! Arthur clicked where it said, 10 spells cast. Cast a spell! And reread his own comment. God, he'd been on autopilot. No wonder Merlin had just given Pendragon a cheery, thanks, and that was it. Okay, he told the Siamese fighting fish that lived in the tank on his desk. Merlin's a decent writer. That's in their favour. The fish didn't reply. It was, after all, a fish. He had a running joke on Once in Future that it was his primary and best beloved Beta fish, especially when he couldn't be bothered sending something on to Lance for a quick spag. Arthur clicked on the arrow for the next entry, and yes! Merlin had friended him! And not bothered to filter! Sometimes Arthur wondered if people didn't filter him out because they wanted him to see their photos or the details of their life or whatever. It was handy, though. Any time there was wank on the meme, he could get into everyone's locked posts and see who was saying what about whom. He had a billion LJ notes. Total douche! Avoid, avoid, avoid! Ignore Faily things she says because she's too young to know better. Anon failed in a Pendragon hate thread on Fail Phantom Anon. Epithet woman! His one for Merlin read. Decent writer. Writes like a guy. Please! He didn't know what gender Merlin was. Odds were highly weighted in favour of female. This was fandom, after all. And that was fine. He knew better than to ask someone in fandom their gender. Never went down well. And in the end, Merlin was who Arthur thought he was on the screen. Interaction in its most pure form. Personality to personality, without looks or age or anything getting in the way. He skimmed the post, looking for clues. And aside from seeing photos of the view from Merlin's bedroom, three power poles and a park, Merlin's favourite shoes... Damn, why did everyone wear chucks? Was it a Doctor Who thing? And Merlin's writing instrument, battered old laptop with one of those illustrated skin things on it. He got nothing. looked like Merlin didn't do memes much, or at least didn't do the sort that asked you question upon question until a well-positioned stalker could effect some well-researched identity theft. Arthur sighed. "Damn you, Merlin," he said, and because he was already thinking of Merlin as, well, Merlin, he pulled up another window in Gmail and swallowed his pride and began to type.
Ready, normal people?
Ready.
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 Let me hear it.
The internet is horrible.
Sorry, Kate.
The internet is horrible.
I masturbate.
All these guys unzip their flies for porn.
Merlin woke early, his fingers resting on the case of his laptop. Probably a bad sign that the first thing he did in the morning was check his email, but, well, it was a hobby. And at least it woke him up. Wart had written last night. 1 a.m. Jesus, was he even in this time zone? And Merlin opened the email as he blinked the sleep out of his eyes.
From wart@gmail.com to mer.lin@gmail.com.
I have a confession to make. You and I know each other under different names. My LJ user ID is Pendragon. I needed a beta, and, well, you've seen my journal. I know you have. You commented there. If I ask for a beta, I'll get 50 offers, and if I turn people down... I know, cry more. I could just whatever, but I don't want to. So yeah, it's probably easier and less deceitful on my part if we just use my main account. pendragon.rocks@gmail.com. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have left it past the initial introduction, but I had to know you weren't some weirdo or flake. Call me paranoid, but I've had problems in the past. Thanks for what you've done so far. Arthur.
Merlin looked at the email. Then he closed his laptop. Then he opened it. Closed it. Opened it again.
I told him he needed to revise commas, said Merlin quietly. Oh my god.
From mer.lin@gmail.com to pendragon.rocks@gmail.com.
So, feeling a bit stupid now.
He sent it without editing or even thinking. Who knew? What could be a troll? But honestly, the writing style had been too sophisticated for a troll, and there'd just been too much of the story. It had been easy to read. Too easy to read. Enjoyable. Merlin heard the that indicated someone had pinged him in chat, and God, he didn't want to talk to Guinevere 80 right now. She seemed to have his waking time memorized. He didn't want to talk to her or anyone. He should have been on red or invisible, but his light was green. Shit. He switched windows to chat.
Pendragon.rocks says, I'm sorry.
Oh, shit!
Mer.lin says, hi. Pendragon.rocks says, I really wasn't trying to make you feel like an idiot. Mer.lin says, comforting to know. Pendragon.rocks says, you're not. ... Question mark. Mer.lin says, sorry, just processing. You're kind of famous. Pendragon.rocks says, you do realize I'm just a normal person, don't you? I work a boring job behind the counter at a bookshop. I'm doing a degree in business admin. I'm not, like, some sort of celebrity. Mer.lin says, your 3,500 LJ friends would probably beg to differ. Pendragon.rocks says, you're the first person ever to tell me I was using a hackneyed trope. Well, the first person before I posted a fic. There's someone on the meme who likes telling me once I've put the fic out there. Mer.lin says, I'm sorry. Pendragon.rocks says, don't be. I can't get better if I don't know, and I'd rather know before my pet grudge mouse gets on it. Mer.lin says, smiley face. Question mark. You do want me on this still? Pendragon.rocks says, don't make me come over there and beat you up, Merlin. I need you on this fic. Mer.lin says, I'm there if you want me. Pendragon.rocks says, good. Fuck, I've gotta go. Look, I lurk. Because last time I went green on chat, 50 people messaged me at once. But I'll ping you, yeah? I want to talk about Morgan's arc in the story. Mer.lin says, I'll be here tonight if you want.
and that was probably the dumbest thing he could have said. Like he was organising a date or something, like a cyber date, but not. But then the thing said Pendragon was offline, and Melon was actually shaking. Pendragon. He couldn't believe it. He should be on chat with Guinevere, but he wasn't. He didn't. He felt like this should be something he kept close to his chest, like it was just between him and Pen... Arthur. He'd said his name was Arthur. Oh my god, said Merlin, getting up and looking at himself in the mirror. Maybe I finally cracked, and this is all a very complicated Donnie Darko-esque hallucination? His mother's voice drifted up from downstairs. Darling boy, if you miss the bus to work again, you'll get fired. Probably not, he told the mirror, and then picked a shirt from his bedroom floor, sniffed it, and wriggled it over his head before seeking out his green cons and a pair of jeans. Right, the cons were on the windowsill from taking the photos for that stupid My Favourite Colour meme. He slipped them on and grabbed his bag, and was downstairs before he'd even remembered that he hadn't set a time for tonight.
It's only a model, Guinevere 80, posted in Stars Camelot. Hold the presses! Hold your asses, ladies! And gentlemen, I know there's a few of you out there. Confirmed attendees for the SFX Weekender later this year. 1. Jamie motherfucking Campbell Bauer. 2. Ava Green. 3. Joseph Sex God Fiennes. 4. Sean, come on, someone loves Sean, Pertwee. 5. Sebastian Every Night Spence. There's more details to come, but the SFX website is saying there'll be a special Camelot panel and that on the Saturday night, there'll be a VIP cocktail party with JCB and Ava. No word on Tamsin, but we can hope. Ticks aren't out yet, but likely to be expensive. Start saving your pennies, ladies. Can I hear a hell yes? Gif spam me in the comments so we can all look at the pretty.
Message for you, sir.
3 new messages. From ljnotify@livejournal.com to mer.lin@gmail.com. Hi, Merlin_is_. Pendragon has added you to their friends list. They will now be able to read your public entries on their friends page. From guinevere80@gmail.com. To mer.lin@gmail.com. OMFG, if you don't email me tonight, I am going to come over there and sit on you until you squeal. From pendragon.rocks@gmail.com to mer.lin@gmail.com. I've shared the big one part 2 with you. For access to the document, click here. You'd better not have been kidding when you said you were still interested. A.
The postcard was gaily coloured and featured a pic of 3 smiling trolls in front of a fjord. The stamp was from Norway and it made Arthur grin as he checked the back.
Can you believe it? They bloody encourage trolls over here. Hope you're behaving. Who knows what will happen when I'm away. Send me a text or something if you've done anything extraordinary, like actually left your house or spoken to a real human who you've never met before. Lance.
He stuck the postcard on the fridge, fed his best-beloved beta, and flicked on his computer. Merlin, reliable as clockwork Merlin, would have sent more of the fic back today. Merlin, who, over the last few weeks, was getting less abrasive and more friendly in the notes left in the fic, more gentle teasing than ripping into Arthur. Merlin, who hadn't updated the document. Arthur swallowed. Okay. It was a full day, since it was the night before last, since he'd heard from Merlin after pretty much constant contact morning and night, for, well, it was weeks now. Maybe a month? No, longer. In the context of that, a day was sort of a long time in internet when you weren't warned. Nothing on his journal, nothing on his list, and Merlin hadn't said anything. He checked his emails, one finger scrolling, his other hand tapping his ring against his teeth. His dentist had said he'd end up with a tailor's notch if he kept the habit up. Maybe he could use that in a fic. He'd been thinking of doing a crime AU for a while, maybe a fusion with something like Bones? Just need to connect the bits and pieces together. Arthur's life was full of things from his fic. Or maybe his fic was full of things from his life. In the Potter series, house duties had run remarkably like they had at school. In the SGAAUs, he populated the world with things he knew. There'd been a park nearby called MacArthur Park, and they'd had a running joke about it as kids, and it wriggled its way into the hospital AU. His teapot with a cosy in the shape of an apple was in another fic. Sometimes it went deeper. In the Potter kids' lockers, there'd been the same sort of collage as had been on the inside of his own locker, except the photos of the men didn't move. Mellon was still offline. Arthur sighed and opened a chat window.
Pendragon.rocks says, "Everything okay?"
And he went back to his emails. Three more telling him about the attendees at the SFX Weekender. Ha! He'd already got tickets for himself and Lance, because Lance would be back by then, and Arthur was seriously wondering if he'd need a bodyguard. He wasn't dumb enough to put his photo up online, but he'd described himself a few times. Maybe he should grow a big scary beard, and then not brush it. That'd put people right off. A request. Did he know any good baiters? He bit his lip. He didn't know the person, and Merlin was the best baiter he knew. Arthur starred the email to talk to Merlin about tomorrow, assuming Merlin showed up. Assuming Merlin wasn't dead in a ditch or something. Which was ridiculous. He went weeks without talking to some of his friends. He only saw the ones from footy on the on-season and all that. But there was something about time online moving faster. Greengirdle had sent him a V-gift. A troll me sign. He laughed and sent back a defriend me. And Girdle sent, "Oh, don't tempt me, bitch!" Girdle was an absolute champ. They'd waded into wank about warnings when Arthur had not warned for Dubcon for a drunk character, and someone else had got offended, and then it had turned into a 300 response thread that spilled into Fail Phenomenon, half of Dreamwidth, and then ended up on Wank Report. Girdle had been calm and polite and biting, and it had been friendship at first message.
Pendragon.rocks says, "How early is too early to employ my army of LJ friends to track someone down?" Girdle says, "It is always too early for that. Who have you lost?" Pendragon.rocks says, "My beta." Girdle says, "Fucking hell, I'm not doing that for you. Anyway, how did he get out of his little tank? He won't have gotten far, unless he's made a break for the toilet and freedom."
Arthur realized that he hadn't talked about Merlin to anyone. Merlin had been his little secret. He'd waffled on to no end on Once and Future about the big one and its progress, but he'd been keeping Merlin hidden. Shit. No wonder Merlin had vanished. He was doing all this work and...
Girdle says, "Are you having another one of your meltdowns?" Pendragon.rocks says, "No, it's a crisis of confidence." Girdle says, "Oh, please. You, not confident. Just don't run away." Pendragon.rocks says, "Quiet, you." Girdle says, "Look, whatever it is, it'll pass. You know that. Just wait it out." Pendragon.rocks says, "Thanks. Yeah, it'll pass."
Only... damn. He cleared out the comment notifications, answered everything, even if it was only with a thanks. He'd learned that if he didn't answer comments when they came in, he'd never answer them, and then he'd get accused of favoritism, and there was no polite way to say, "No, I'm just too lazy to go back and answer unanswered comments." So he tried to get it all done at once. He hated it when he realized he'd forgotten to reply to one sitting lonely in an old post. He opened the doc, and there were Merlin's comments. Merlin's marker for,
"I'm going to finish up here for the night,"
marked not last night, but the night before. And Arthur knew he should have been working through the suggestions that Merlin had already made, and that it was ridiculous to worry. But he stared at the screen and couldn't do a single bloody thing. He was about to turn everything off when the message came in.
Mer.Lin says, "What?"
Relief, sharp and warm, loosened his shoulders.
Pendragon.rocks says, "You didn't email. I was wondering if you were okay."
Oh, God! He read that over and realized how it sounded. "You didn't beta my fic today, and I'm a pushy BNF. Beta my fic, bitch!" He was glad that hadn't been in public. And then he felt ashamed, because he'd still said it, public or not.
Mer.Lin says, "It wasn't a good day today. Anniversary or something bad." Pendragon.rocks says, "You want to tell me? It's okay if you don't." Mer.Lin says, "It's okay. You can't change it." Pendragon.rock says. Just let me know, yeah? I was afraid that something had happened.
Mer.lin says.
Oh my god, I didn't even think you'd worry if I was gone for a day or so. I figured you had plenty of people trying to take your time.
Pendragon.rock says. You're important to me.
Mer.lin says. Pendragon.rock says. You still there?
Mer.lin says.
You're important to me too. I'm sorry I wasn't there today.
Mer.lin is offline. Messages you send will be delivered when Mer.lin comes online.
Fuck! Said Arthur. Fuck! Fuck! Fuck!
Pendragon.rock says. It's okay. It's all okay. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Just email me or something so I know you're alive.
Mer.lin is offline. Messages you send will be delivered when Mer.lin comes online.
Extract from G-Docs.
In here, said Arthur, and the men followed him. The Crystal Cave. Here, a man may lose his memory, his life, whatever it is that is most important to him. Sire, asked Kay, putting a hand on Arthur's shoulder. Arthur stepped forward, away from the comfort of touch. No, said Arthur, we have to keep on. If we can make it through the mountains... He stopped next to Merlin's crystal. He couldn't help himself. He reached out to touch the smooth, flat panes of his old friend's face.
Can you please stop using goddamn epithets? I know this is a minor one, but there is so much more you could be doing here. Given that you're trying for Omniscient, we're too far into Arthur's POV. Give us some nights. Properly, I mean.
Merlin, 3rd of April 2011, 20.20.
The knights watched as Arthur bent to stare at the crystal. A crystal that, to them, only looked like a lump in stalactite.
Stalagmite. Stalactites have to hold tight to the roof, and unless Merlin has grown, there's no way he could be a stalactite.
Merlin, 3rd of April 2011, 20.21.
Arthur tried to see any human emotions in those eyes, those glassy eyes.
Avoid the repetition. It's clumsy.
Merlin, 3rd of April 2011, 20.21.
But all he could see was his own reflection, turned upside down and tiny. He pressed his hand to Merlin's cheek. Sire, said Gawain, what would you have us do? Arthur straightened. Follow me, he said. We have a long way to go by morning.
I know you're not having a good time of it, but there's no need to take it out on my fic.
Pendragon, 3rd of April 2011, 21.12.
Sorry, tell me if I'm being too rough.
Merlin, 3rd of April 2011, 21.23.
You're being too rough.
Pendragon, 3rd of April 2011, 21.24.
Crap. Man, I love this fic. You know I love this fic. I love how you've wound in all the temporal displacement stuff, and I love the way you've characterized both of them. Arthur in this bit, I can feel his desperation, and just the symbol of the crystal and the way he can only see his own reflection, that's brilliant. IDK, don't go getting a big head, but I think this is the best thing you've ever written.
Merlin, 3rd of April 2011, 21.30.
Now you're being sycophantic. I almost like goddamn epithets better.
Pendragon, 3rd of April 2011, 21.31.
Now you're being pissy. When are you publishing so I can wreck the shit out of it?
Merlin, 3rd of April 2011, 21.31.
Being reincarnated too many times. Pendragon, posted in Once and Future. Title, The Future and the Once. Rating, NC-17. Pairing, Arthur Merlin, past Merlin Morgan. Word count, 90,000. I know, right? Beta Fish, Mer.lin, who was magical in all the best ways. Summary, when Merlin and Arthur get lost on the hunt, a meeting with Aurorn leads to changes that will affect them both. Disclaimer, the Arthurian legends are in the public domain. However, in this particular form, Camelot belongs to Stars. Read more.
Message for you, sir.
From ljnotify@livejournal.com to mer.lin@gmail.com. Dear Merlin Is, you've received a Live Journal virtual gift from Pendragon. The note attached to your gift reads, Thank you, more than I can possibly say. Please visit your profile page to view your gift. The last 10 virtual gifts you have received will display on your profile. From
mer.lin@gmail.com. 2. pendragon.rocks@gmail.com.
Happy with the reception? It's on Crack Van and Epic Rex. The last time I checked Delicious, someone had tagged it with OMG Best Thing Ever, and someone else with Fave.
From pendragon.rocks@gmail.com to mer.lin@gmail.com.
Very. You up for more?
From mer.lin@gmail.com to pendragon.rocks@gmail.com.
Always.
From pendragon.rocks@gmail.com to mer.lin@gmail.com.
I've shared Morgan with you. For access to the document, click here.
From mer.lin@gmail.com to pendragon.rocks@gmail.com.
On it.
Someone posted in Camelot Anon.
The new Pendragon. Okay, kids, what are we thinking? Any good or just the recycling of his old SGA stuff?
Reply from someone.
Surprisingly not bad.
Reply from someone.
OMG, best thing he's done, IMO. I sat down to read it yesterday and didn't stop till 3 a.m.
Reply from Morgan of Camelot.
Totally overrated. People should be paying more attention to fic that's not using tired old tropes and totally unrealistic sex scenes. I mean, is he even aware of how sex works? Ugh.
Reply from someone.
Best a non-fail ever.
The internet is for porn.
What are you doing?
Why you think the net was born? Porn, porn, porn.
The bus is crowded, and it was raining, so fog had steamed up the windows, and there was a distinct smell of wet suits. Not very different from wet dog. Merlin was squashed between two of the soggy suited passengers, hanging onto the bar every time they went around a corner, grateful when it was finally his stop and he could get out, even if he was going to get soaked between here and home. There was a letter waiting for him in the kitchen, and his mother was cooking some sort of casserole. He hadn't told Arthur he still lived with his mum. It seemed kind of dorky to be in your 20s and still at home with mummy. Especially when Arthur would go and make a post about his awesome flat and how he was slowly decorating it himself. Merlin had thought that Arthur posting an LJ poll to decide which colour he should paint his front door, red, blue or brown, was a little ridiculous, especially because the answer was clearly red. Anyone who knew the first thing about Arthur knew his favourite colour was red. Oh God. Merlin knew Arthur's favourite colour. Oh, creepy creep, he told himself, and opened the letter. So? Asked his mum.
Another rejection, said Merlin, as his heart sank into his stomach.
Dear Mr. Emrys, we regret that you were unsuccessful in blah, blah, blah.
I'm never going to get a decent job.
Which paper?
South Wales Evening Post, he said.
Ah, shame. I was looking forward to coming to visit you in Wales, she said. You could get off your computer, maybe, and make some friends. I'm sure whichever paper ends up accepting you will have a social club.
I have friends on the computer, said Merlin. Wait, that sounds bad. I mean, I have pen friends, sort of thing. We write things.
Oh, like a writer's group.
Merlin hopped up onto the kitchen table, earning himself a stern look. He smiled back. Yeah, like a writer's group. We sort of, write things and send them to each other to edit.
And that's where you come in, she said.
It's like practice for my degree. But yeah, there's some nice people in the group.
She stirred the pot. You going to meet up with any of them?
There's this thing, like a convention thing, coming up, said Merlin. And he thought this conversation would be hard. He had so many passwords on his computer that a professional hacker probably couldn't get in there. He never worked on fixed stuff downstairs. He realised he'd never really mentioned it to his mother at all. God knew what she thought he was doing on his computer.
And you're going?
My friend wants to, and another friend of ours is going, Merlin said.
And you're unsure, she said. Is this other friend a creep?
No, said Merlin. No, the opposite, really. He was really nice to me last week, and I didn't even explain to him it was Will's birthday.
And here we come to the root of the problem.
Shift yourself, said his mother, nudging him off the table. And put out the mats and cutlery while you're at it, darling boy.
The root of the problem? Merlin asked, getting the placemats.
You've got a crush on him, said Hoonis, and Merlin felt his face go hot.
I don't, he said.
Merlin, she replied.
He sat at the table.
Okay, maybe.
And does he like you? She asked, serving out the food.
I don't know, said Melon. I mean, we've been chatting for a few months now, and I don't know. And I don't think I could go to this convention and have him look at me and hate me on sight.
It was such a relief to tell someone, even if it was his mum. He hadn't wanted to tell Guinevere or anyone online, because he just knew that would go badly, and his offline friends would probably smack him across the face for feeling like this about some random on the internet. Only Arthur wasn't a random. He was Pendragon. And if Merlin tried to explain that to anyone offline, he would probably be sectioned. He sighed.
I'm not going to tell you what you should and shouldn't do, said his mother, with a little smile. But I met your father at the Glastonbury Fair, and I hadn't been going to go because I didn't like camping, and I didn't like men with beards. And look what I ended up with.
A nerdy son who can't get a job? Merlin teased, grinning.
A gorgeous boy who's going to do the washing up before he goes upstairs for his writer's group, she said. And he would have said something snarky back, but he had his mouth full.
Guinevere 80 says, Okay, so how did you get on the ground floor for that fic? Mer.Lin says, I have no idea. Guinevere 80 says, Right. Mer.Lin says, No, I mean, I actually have no idea. I answered a post on Knight's Nina Beta. I have no idea why he kept me on. People still don't bother even replying when I post a comment on their fics. I'm nobody. Guinevere 80 says, You writing anything at the moment? Mer.Lin says, Sort of. Futurin once took over my life a bit there. Guinevere 80 says, I know. Mer.Lin says, Hugs. I am so sorry. You know, I'd love to know how he does it. Answers all those comments and writes and sits in chat and still has time for a life. Guinevere 80 says, Maybe he's a housebound raving loony, chained to a keyboard by his own nipple hair. Wait! What? Chat? Mer.Lin says, Guinevere 80 says, O-M-G! O-M-F-F-F-F-F-G! Mer.Lin says, It's not often, it's just when we need to discuss something like a story arc. And he messaged me last week when I was out being an emo. Guinevere 80 says, I thought we agreed after last time that he told me things. Mer.Lin says, I do, I tell you lots of things. Guinevere 80 says, Is he going to the Weekender? Mer.Lin says, IDK. Guinevere 80 says, Don't make me put your email address up on 4chan with some hentai tentacles and an invitation to email for some octo-loving. Mer.Lin says, You wouldn't. Guinevere 80 says, Try me. Mer.Lin says, Look, I know what you're going to say, and the answer is no. We can't meet up with him. Guinevere 80 says, Why? One good reason. Mer.Lin says, Auntie, don't make me. Guinevere 80 says, My mouse pointer is hovering above the post button. Mer.Lin says, He doesn't know I'm a guy. Guinevere 80 says, Your reason is invalid. Organize it. Mer.Lin says, No, seriously, you know how I just don't mention it? And then I didn't, and now we're friends, and it's going to be a disaster. Guinevere 80 says, Do we read the same Pendragon? Because the one I read is gayer than Adam Lambert at a pride parade. Mer.Lin says, And you don't think he'll be thinking I tried to get into his inner circle because I'm a creepy perv who wanted to trick him into love? No, I can't. You'll hate me. Guinevere 80 says, You have no faith in mankind. Mer.Lin says, I will cry if he hates me. Like honest to God man tears. Guinevere 80 says, Then he can comfort you with his cock. I hear they're good for healing man tears. Mer.Lin says, I'm totally not laughing right now. Guinevere 80 says, Of course you are. Come on, BB, just ask him. Worst he can do is say no. Been reincarnated too many times. Pendragon, posted in Once and Future. So you know how sometimes you don't know what you need until it arrives in your life, and then you realize you can't live without it? It's a good feeling. I think I've been happier these last few months than I've been for a long time. Reply from Merlin is, Are you talking about what I think you're talking about? Reply from Guinevere 80, Are you two going public? Reply from Merlin is, I'm going to kill you and wear your skin as a raincoat. Reply from Pendragon, That's really, really creepy. You're a creep. And it's not what, Merlin, it's who. Reply from Merlin is, "You like my creepy." Reply from Pendragon, "God help me, I do. And I really have to go. I have been promised Belgian chocolate and souvenirs from the Sex Museum in Amsterdam in return for giving someone a lift home from the airport. Peace out."
Arthur opened his arms for a hug. "You cut your hair!"
"You're supposed to say, it's so good to see you, when your best mate has been away for the best part of the year," said Lance, hugging Arthur soundly. "How are you? Still breaking hearts on the internet?"
"Don't even start," said Arthur. "I know you've had Wi-Fi."
"Not only had Wi-Fi, downloaded your fic onto my iPhone," said Lance, slinging an arm around his shoulders as they walked down to the baggage carousel. "It's good. Who helped you?"
"Their name's Merlin," said Arthur.
"There?" said Lance. "Did you meet them at one of those dating in the dark things?"
"What? No," said Arthur. "No, it's a long and embarrassing story."
"Do you still have that bottle of Glenfiddich?"
"No, I drank it, you twerp," said Arthur. "But I bought another one if you're up for a chat."
"I am most certainly up for a chat. I'm insanely curious about what you've been up to." "This from a man who has 6 months' worth of stories from backpacking."
"Oh, the things I've seen," said Lance.
"Did you keep my plants alive? I'm dreading what horrible things will be at the back of the cupboards with only Ellion there to keep the place from falling apart."
"I even went and changed your bed," said Arthur. "I'm the nice friend in this relationship.
I think Ellion's decided I changed it so there wouldn't be parasites when you brought me back for a welcome home fuck."
"Well, he's in for some disappointment," said Lance, completely deadpan. "He should know I only bend you over the table. Come on, we'll go back to yours and he can have another night of freedom."
"Indeed," said Arthur, as Lance darted in to get his bag from the moving belt, getting a dirty look from a prim and proper type who was waiting with them. He hefted it onto a shoulder and patiently followed Arthur out to pay for the parking, and then to Arthur's car. Red, of course, they go faster.
"So," said Lance, once they were in and the radio on, "tell me about this Merlin."
"Not drunk enough," said Arthur. "Tell me about the girls of Europe."
"God, there weren't many. Most of them were drunk Australians with their tits out on the Contiki buses. And then when I went it alone, there weren't many under the age of 40.
"Nothing wrong with a sugar mama."
Lance laughed, shaking his head.
"Coming from you, that is wrong, wrong, wrong."
"Or it could be oh so right," asked Arthur, with his best cheesy romantic hero eyebrow waggle.
It was easy to fall back into friendship with Lance.
Clearly, although he'd been off finding himself, the himself he found was still someone who wanted to be mates with Arthur. And Arthur knew he was damn lucky to have someone offline that knew about what he did online and didn't give a shit. Encouraged it, even. Lance told him stories about Croatia all the way home. He'd taken a boat trip and somehow ended up with sea urchin spines in his feet. And he'd met a gorgeous Swedish girl on the same tour, and she'd adopted him as her platonic white knight, which had turned out to be handy when some guys at one of the clubs got douchey. Lance must have been in his own idea of heaven getting to fight for someone's honour. Arthur felt a bit sheltered and mundane compared to that. Furthest he'd been in his life was Paris, and that was a school trip. When they got back to Arthur's, Arthur went for the whiskey, while Lance dug around in his pack, and when Arthur returned, produced trinkets and toys from all over the place. A snow dome with little floating penises, peni, in it from Amsterdam's red light district. Thor's hammer on a necklace from Denmark. Chocolate, with a wrapper advising him to take it in case of emergency, and a toy troll from Norway. It squeaked when you squeezed it. And Lance made it squeak a squeak a squeak.
"So you remember they're just harmless," he said, handing it over. "Now, tell me what the problem is."
"I'm supposed to be your sassy gay friend, not the other way around," said Arthur, squeaking the troll. Lance put his feet on the coffee table.
"I'm going to drink this whether you tell me or not," he said, relaxing back.
"You should have seen the hotel I was in last night. Had some money left, so I splashed out. Marble bathroom and 15 pillows on the bed."
"I don't want to hear about your bedroom habits," said Arthur.
"So tell me why you seem to be having some sort of nervous breakdown over your beta," said Lance, peacefully. Arthur leaned forward and gave them both a refill.
"Okay, so I used the wart sock puppet to get a beta for the big one, 'cause you fucking left me," said Arthur. "And I got this person. Calls himself Mer.Lin. Like, you know, Merlin. And they're good. Surprisingly good. Like, come out of nowhere like a shark good."
"Sharks don't come out of nowhere. You see their fins."
Is this your story? Asked Arthur. I think I know the story, said Lance. So you meet, so you correspond, so you fall for them. How on earth can you not know if they're a guy or a girl?
I never asked, said Arthur. And then it got so awkward that I couldn't ask. They're pretty guarded about their personal life.
You didn't want to scare them off, said Lance. Come on, everyone in that fandom wants you. How likely is it you'll scare off anyone? Couldn't you ask their friends? He put on a serious business voice. Have you actually taken leave of your senses?
I didn't want anyone to know, said Arthur. And Lance sighed.
You couldn't have seeded the question at an anon meme?
He's a total lurker. Less than 20 people on his list. Someone would track it back, said Arthur.
He's? Asked Lance, pointedly refilling.
Oh, fuck, said Arthur. I don't know.
Lance sipped his drink. Tell me more.
Loves T.H. White, said Arthur, and has actually read Mallory.
Oh dear, said Lance.
If this person likes dirty jokes and obscure references to the Beat Poets, you might be in serious trouble.
Arthur put his head in his hands. Lance put down his glass, rubbing the flat of his palm between Arthur's shoulder blades.
Buck up, Wart, he said. Reverting to Arthur's nickname from when they were just kids, and playing Cane Wart in the forest was the best fun ever. They'd used to pretend that the crows were Cully, even though the crows weren't exactly hunting birds, and the park wasn't exactly a forest either.
It made something warm settle in Arthur's chest. He always knew where he stood with Lance. They'd been friends too long.
Lance pulled Arthur into an awkward hug, awkward because Arthur refused to uncurl, and rested his chin on Arthur's nape.
I don't even know what I'm thinking, said Arthur, into the space between their bodies. I know Merlin's going to this SFX convention thing, and Merlin knows I'm going, but said nothing about meeting up. I don't even know if they want to meet up.
You're acting like a teenage girl, said Lance. No more whiskey for you.
I'm not, said Arthur.
You're snuggling.
I'm not, said Arthur, sitting up and struggling free.
I'm just...
having boy troubles, said Lance.
Gah! And to think, I was going to give some of those poor girls that Dad keeps setting me up with your number.
He's still on that? Asked Lance. Hasn't he worked it out yet?
I think he's hoping that I'll just see the perfect girl, said Arthur, like love at first sight.
You know, said Lance, it's not so stupid. I believe in it.
You're not seriously telling me that if I meet the right girl...
What are you going to do if Merlin is a girl?
Arthur swallowed.
I'm going to cross that bridge when I come to it, he said.
Lance pulled him back into a rough one-armed hug, and they drank in silence, enjoying each other's company for a while.
Arthur picked up the squeaky troll and squeaked it a bit, and Lance laughed, a low rumble in his chest.
So I booked you a ticket to this thing as well, said Arthur. Don't argue, you're coming. I need you there in case everything goes pear-shaped.
Lance took the troll from him and made it walk across the table to the bottle.
Don't you remember what happened at the London SGA meet? Asked Lance. And that girl who goes by Morgan of Camelot now? What was her name?
I remember, said Arthur. That's why you've got to come, too.
I'll come, said Lance. But I'm going to wear my Vulcan outfit, just to punish you.
How would that be punishing me? You're the one wearing it.
Lance shrugged. Chicks dig Vulcans. Budge up. I'm drunk and I'm going to crash here for the night.
I made your bed! At your own flat? Arthur protested, but he went and found a blanket for Lance anyway.
Be up all night hugging me, horn to horn, horn, horn.
Merlin jiggled, making his bedhead wobble and his laptop bounce in his lap. He'd had way too much coffee. He should really have thought about it when the waiter offered him faults, but it was good coffee, and he'd relish the chance to get out and socialise for afternoon tea with people beyond the keyboard. Even if they were his workmates, and Belinda kept on trying to set him up with various adorable young men who were much more interested in guys who didn't have a life that consisted of university, part-time telesales, and being a creeper on the internet. Well, being a beta on the internet. Arthur was sending him other people now. People apparently asked Arthur to beta for them all the time, and Arthur was a terrible beta. Merlin knew this because he'd sent Arthur a ficlet to look at when Arthur complained about doing all the writing. It had been a disaster. They'd agreed to never speak of it again. And Arthur wasn't online tonight because he was going to pick up Lance, the mysterious L school friend who had turned out to be called Lance. Merlin wasn't really looking forward to the return of Lance. He'd read back in Arthur's blog, and once you knew what you were looking for, Lance was everywhere. And Merlin had got really used to having part of Arthur that the entire blogosphere didn't have access to,
and he wasn't really looking forward to sharing. Especially not when Arthur said things like, something arriving in his life made him happy. God, was he actually trying to kill Merlin? Merlin went into the current fic. It was after 1 a.m. So, unlikely to see Arthur in there, even if he was home from the airport. He missed it. Arthur's presence in the top corner of the screen. Almost like they were sitting together to work on the fic. Of course, he could just have the window open in the background, but Merlin liked to imagine it as sort of companionable, like Arthur was in his pillow nest. And he needed to stop that thought right there, because he was more and more convinced that Arthur looked just like JCB, and yeah. But Arthur was in the pillow nest, and they were balancing the laptop between them. Merlin sighed and snuggled back, letting himself savour what it might be like before getting into the beta. Then Arthur's name popped up in the top of the document, and a chat window donked.
Pendragon.rocks says, can't sleep. Mer.lin says, can't sleep. Pendragon.rocks says, no, really. Mer.lin says, had too much coffee in the early evening. You? Pendragon.rocks says, nightmare. Mer.lin says, want to talk about it? Pendragon.rocks says, not overly. Mer.lin says, okay. Pendragon.rocks says, I was kind of in this room, and there were no exits, and I thought it would be a good place to stay, but it kept getting smaller and smaller, and then I couldn't move, and it was like a coffin. I wasn't dying or anything, I was just sort of there, alone. Felt like forever. Sorry, it was scarier than it sounds. Mer.lin says, these things can be. I used to dream all the time about being stuck in the mirror, but the world beyond the mirror didn't exist. It was just that room, and no one could see me, so I just... yeah, weird. Pendragon.rocks says, at least I'm not the only weirdo. Mer.lin says, thinking of weirdos... I'm not a weirdo. I know you said you were going to the SFX thing. I'm meant to be meeting Guinevere 80 there. Was wondering if you'd like to catch up for a coffee or watch one in the panels or something?
Merlin could feel his own heart beating. Oh god. Oh god, how could he be this dumb?
Mer.lin says, it's fine if you don't want to. Yeah, it's fine if you're not into meetups. I know you're pretty guarded about your offline identity. Pendragon.rocks says, no.
Oh god, no.
Pendragon.rocks says, it's fine, I'd love to. We could maybe go to that cocktail party thing together too, if you want. I'm making Lance come.
Merlin thought he was about to cry with relief before something hit him.
Mer.lin says, your other beta? Pendragon.rocks says, trust me, he's delighted to cede the duty to you. Mer.lin says, smiley face. So we'll organise a place and time then? Pendragon.rocks says, the panels are at 11, so we were going to get there 9-ish to get our signing passes and stuff. Mer.lin says, passes? Pendragon.rocks says, yeah, usually you buy passes or tickets or something that will get you autographs and photo ops with the guests. You've not done one of these before, have you? Mer.lin says, total newbie. Pendragon.rocks says, don't worry, I'll take care of you.
Merlin made a noise that was only audible to dogs and bats when he read that, and for the first time in months, he felt like capping something Arthur had said.
I'll take care of you.
He knew Arthur liked him as a good friend. He loved Arthur, still, all his heart, scouts, honour, and hope to die. But he didn't need to save everything madly anymore, and he wondered when that had changed. When he'd gone from bouncing around the house like a rubber ball every time he got an email, to having a faint, pleased thrill when Arthur responded to his teasing.
Mer.lin says, smiley face. Pendragon.rocks says, okay, I'm going to try to get some sleep. We'll work out details closer to the time, yeah? Peace out. Mer.lin says, night. Pendragon.rocks says, sleep tight.
Merlin wasn't going to sleep for hours. He could just feel it. So he went back into the document. He wasn't writing anything of his own at all these days, he realised. But he didn't feel bad about it. Just warm. He'd never been that good, anyway. Not in a fandom the size of Camelot, where all the pan-fandom BNFs had written at least one fic, and Arthur loomed large over the landscape. Arthur was probably safely asleep again, and Merlin snuggled into his pillow nest, and opened up an email to Gwen in one window, Arthur's fic in the other, and a contented feeling too big to contain in his chest, resting in all of his bones.
Message for you, sir.
from guinevere80@gmail.com to mer.lin@gmail.com. R.E.
I did it! I didn't think you'd actually ask him. OMG! So will you tell him beforehand? What are you going to do? Also, if for some mad reason he decides I'm the hottest out of the two of us, then I call dibs. Just saying. Thank you, thank you, thank you! Show quoted text. Let us go then, you and I. Monmouth, posted in S. Camelot Rex. Ficrec, Questing for Idiots by Pendragon. Okay, so you're probably wondering what the hell I'm doing wrecking something by Pendragon. I know I said I'd never read anything by the twit again, but I was bored and drunk and horny, and let's face it, all the good fic in this fandom has gone the way of the dinosaur during the hiatus. So I liked the summary, and I figured if I hated it, fuck it! It would affirm that I just hate whatever Pendragon does, no matter how many other people love it. I couldn't put this down. It was the Merlin and Arthur I want to see. Arthur struggling with command, with Morgan, with the whole visceral nature of battle and love in that time. And Merlin is broken, but not stupidly so. God, I hate woobies. I think that was my problem with the Pendragon stuff in Seeker. Pendragon's continued the aging backwards trope from The Future and the Once, and it works here. It really works. There's loads of references to White, which makes this fangirl very happy, and the sex is written with a light touch. Just a few sensual details, rather than the all-out porno-pounding that characterized his earlier fics. My rec. Stop reading whatever it is you're reading, and pick this up instead. It's just that good. Whatever you're doing to improve Pendragon, keep it up! Stories like this are what fandom was made for. After that initial rush of fic during season 1, this is the first real highlight of the hiatus. And if you stopped reading him after the wank over buttons, then do yourself a favour and give him another try. You might be pleasantly surprised. Been reincarnated too many times. Pendragon, posted in Once and Future. Friends only. So, I have this father. That's pretty normal, I mean, everyone has one. And said father works at a rather important anti-piracy organization. And tonight, I came out to him, and it was an absolute bloody disaster. It wasn't how I was going to. I had plans. Plans that included finding a nice boy who loved me for me, and then we'd have a relationship, and it would be awesome. And eventually, we'd have to do the whole meet the parents thing, and we'd go and see him. And if Dad got angry, or if I got angry, then boyfriend would be there to hold my hand tightly under the table. And then when we got home, we'd have spectacular comfort sex. Well, I guess it was a daydream. Whatever. We got into an argument about fic. I didn't even know he knew about fandom, but I suppose it was inevitable. He was off hunting fan mixes, and he found fic and fan art. Hilariously, it was SPN. I hope he found Mythogoward, and now his dreams are full of distended rectums. And he was talking about it at dinner, and about how it was just wrong, and how if he had his way, the fickers and the art people and the vidders would all be in jail. And okay. I bit my tongue and tried to argue coherently about it. But then he said, "And they're all gay. It wouldn't be a problem if they weren't spreading this filth around. What's wrong with a buddy show? Does everyone have to be gay?" And I might have said something totally ill-advised and angry about being gay. And he might have thrown me out of his house, and then called me 3 hours later to apologise for throwing me out, and to tell me to never speak of this again. And that he'd organised me another date with another blonde girl who will be just lovely, and so hopeful, and so totally not the person I want to kiss. Reply from Green Girdle. Asshole! Go and get drunk and write about boys fucking. Reply from Percy Percy Percy. OMG, you okay? Smishes. Let me know if you need anything, hun. Reply from Lance. I'll bring beer. Reply from Merlin is. Next weekend, I'm going to hug you so hard you lose your breath. Reply from Pendragon. I'm going to hold you to that, Merlin. Magic is my middle name. Merlin is, posted in mer.lin. Friends only. I'm entirely packed for my first con ever. I had no idea when I got into fandom that I'd be doing this. I suppose it's natural to be nervy, and I've been promised that I'll be looked after by my friends. But God, I don't know what people will be wearing, what they're like offline. What if it turns out that JCB is a total douchebag, and then I'm stuck knowing he's a douche and still being a bit in love with Arthur as a character? Ugh, it's ridiculous, I know, but still. So, Guinevere 80 and I will be sharing a room. She'll have her netbook, so hopefully I'll be able to get online and check my emails and keep in touch. Not that I ever really have any, but IDK, if something explodes, email me. My phone is pretty unreliable for internet, but hopefully I can lurk around and feed you any juicy details that come up. Send me a PM if you're going and you want to meet up. Can't wait to put faces to names. M. XXX. Reply from Guinevere 80. Stop worrying. These things are like coming home. Reply from I'm afraid not. I am so jealous of you getting to go to this thing while I'm stuck across the pond. Reply from Merlin is. I promise I will keep you updated, and I'll ask your question if I get the chance. Reply from I'm afraid not. I L you. Heart. Reply from Green Girdle. You'll be fine, champ. I have it on good authority that every second of your weekend is already planned. Reply from Merlin is. Do you just? Reply from Green Girdle. I know everything. Reply from Merlin is. In that case, can you tell me next week's lotto numbers? Reply from Green Girdle. That money is mine, bitch. Get your own.
I'm glad we have this new technology.
Porn.
Which gives us untold opportunity.
Porn. Oh, sorry.
From your own desktop.
Porn.
You can research, browse, and shop. Until you've had enough and you're ready to stop.
Porn. Yeah.
Arthur stretched out under the covers, yawning. He rolled over. Right, 2 a.m. He was going to look like an absolute wreck tomorrow. It wasn't that he didn't like going out. He did. He enjoyed it. It was that... Merlin. Merlin, who would be wearing an XKCD shirt and the green trainers he'd seen on Merlin's blog. Merlin, who was a great big blobby mess whenever Arthur tried to visualize what Merlin looked like. Merlin, who he'd left it way past embarrassing and into downright rude if Arthur dropped into the conversation, "By the way, are you a guy or a girl?" He wondered. He'd seen girls at these things in jeans and tees, usually something with Beethoven on the front and "Fifth This" or something about Schrodinger's cat. The huge tracts of land one was funny. He liked that one. And if Merlin was a girl, then what? He was more than just a bit in love. He'd fallen in love with the typeface and the mind. It'd probably make Uther the happiest father in the world if Merlin was a girl, because Arthur had every intention of climbing Merlin like a tree, even if she was the spitting image of Bethan Jones, who had bullied him mercilessly all through school. If Merlin was a boy, long-limbed, probably a bit of stubble by the end of the day, the right height to press up against Arthur's back and hook his chin over Arthur's shoulder and hold him near, big hands to cup Arthur's chin and tilt his head back for a kiss. If Merlin was a boy, Arthur was going to kiss him in the middle of the con floor. Or, more likely, giggle like he was 14 and then blush every time Merlin looked at him, and then they'd go their different ways at the end of the weekend, and that would be that. They'd go back to baitering, and Arthur would go back to mooning like a lovesick idiot, only he'd be even more lovesick because he'd know what Merlin looked like. But Merlin might be neither. Truth was, Arthur didn't know. Arthur sighed and looked at the clock again, its red eye blinking in the night. If Merlin was real, their personality really like they were online, it didn't matter. None of it mattered. Merlin could have 6 cocks or no cocks. Arthur didn't care. Just that Merlin was real, flesh and blood, and not some figment of Arthur's imagination, and able and willing to give him that promised hug. What were the odds of finding someone in his city? Damn! He got up, stretching, because he wasn't going to get any sleep right now. He took a dose of the valerian tablets that some random had recommended when his couple of lines in Once in Future about nightmares had turned into 1. Everyone on his list recounting their nightmares, sometimes in gruesome detail, and 2. Everyone on his list giving him their advice about how to prevent nightmares. He was surprised he hadn't had nightmares about the nightmares of some of his flisters. He flicked his computer on, the light disturbing best beloved beta, so he waggled his fingers at the tank. "Hi there," he said. "Just checking things on the computer." "Yes, I know. You've got a sad case for an owner." He'd read Merlin's email through enough times to have it memorized, but he opened it anyway. The list.
9:30 a.m. in the hotel lobby. Whomever gets there first is to get in line for the autograph passes.
will hopefully be with Guinevere 80, who is cosplaying as some person from Star Trek, so that when she gets her photo with Carl Urban, it will be awesome. Will be wearing an XKCD shirt that reads, "Just shy, not antisocial. You can talk to me."
Arthur couldn't help but feel there was a message in the shirt. Like, Melon was warning him in advance that he might be a bit shy.
Will wear my green shoes, since you seem to like them so much. I've got dark hair. I'm pretty skinny, tall. IDK, what else?
Arthur's list was...
9:30 a.m. in the hotel lobby. Gotta find parking, so don't freak if I'm a little late. Am bringing Lance, who is threatening to dress like a Vulcan. So let's not tell either of them and watch their faces when they meet. Will be wearing jeans and, I don't know, a shirt, whatever's clean. I've got light hair, sort of blondish. Someone once called it dishwater. Sounds like we might be opposites.
He rubbed at his face. Okay, definitely 9:30. Which was in less than 7 hours from now. He should go back to bed and stop thinking. There were 15 new messages in his inbox, and he checked them. Mostly comment notifications, but one from Girdle with a macro in it that suggested he have a cup of concrete and harden the fuck up, and that was definitely in reference to Merlin. Half his flist seemed to have done one of those "What Camelot character are you?" memes, so he clicked through. But seriously, when your choices for "What do you like to do in your free time?" were reading, killing things with my sword, I like to do magic, I like to have sex. It was sort of obvious where they were going with this thing. He clicked through all of the right answers, but still felt a little satisfied when he got Arthur, and he posted it to his blog, just because. Oh, and there was someone pointing him to a thread about what a terrible writer he was. He knew he shouldn't click when he felt like this, like his skin was too small, and he knew whatever it was would upset him. But he did anyway. Read through the thread of how he was overrated, how he needed to get a decent beta, and something in him bristled at that, and he was at once horribly embarrassed and horribly angry. How he was either a tryhard, or not self-aware enough, or too self-conscious. Okay, this had been a terrible idea. He closed his eyes, and then opened them, closing IE through the, "Are you sure you want to close these tabs?" and shut down the computer. His eyes took a while to adjust to the darkness, and he crashed into the coffee table. Something squeaked, and he shook his head. Just trolls, right? Not all of them. All of them couldn't be, once you got a weight of opinion. Yeah, he'd done a lot towards helping himself sleep well. Where was that cup of concrete? He didn't try to find the toy troll, just limped off to bed, curling up under his duvet and pulling it over him, tucking his arm over the top, as if he had someone else spooning behind him. The clock was mocking him, and whether it was the Valerian, or the despair, or the fact that it was nearly 3:30 a.m, Arthur closed his eyes and fell asleep, imagining that the tuck of the duvet at his back was someone else, even if he couldn't put a face to them yet.
Someone posted in Camelot anon. SFX Weekender. Okay, so have we got enough spies there to make it worthwhile? Someone replied, "I'm following the SFX Weekender hashtag feed on Twitter." Someone replied, "I'll be at the cocktail party. I'd better find out that JCB and J-Fines are fucking for the money it cost." Someone replied, "I want pics." Someone replied, "Is it true that Pendragon is going? He talked about it on his blog a few times, but he hasn't said anything recently." Someone replied, "He might be going, but you're not going to see him, because he will be the fat chick in the corner slobbering over the actors." Someone replied, "Uncool." Someone replied, "Plus one." Someone replied, "No one cur." Someone replied, "Fuck you, I'm the fat chick in the corner slobbering over the actors, and I don't want to be associated with that fuckwad." Someone replied, "BRB, lolling forever." Someone replied, "Can we at least pretend for 5 minutes that our non-discourse consists of more than tired old phrases and memes? And can we fucking stop with the Pendragon wank? I'm so sick of Anon's crawling up his ass or trying to prove that they're so edgy and that they hate him more. Just forget about him and he'll go away." Someone replied, "Cool story, bro."
Normal people don't sit at home and look at porn on the internet.
Oh?
What?
You have no idea. Ready, normal people?
Ready.
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 Let me hear it.
The woman at the box office had given Melon a map and a plastic bag full of brochures and a free copy of SFX magazine from 6 months ago and told him to have a lovely time as she'd snapped a wristband on him, almost too tight for comfort, but tight enough that he couldn't wriggle it off to give to someone else. Not that he had any intention of doing that. He'd paid for the weekend, and he was gonna stay for the weekend. He had the room key for his and Guinevere's room in his pocket, and one was waiting for her at the desk. He hadn't the cash for one of his own, and he hoped that she didn't follow through on any of her threats of sitting on him. He was organized. Nothing could go wrong. Except for the fact that there were about a billion people here, and Melon had no idea how he was going to find Arthur. He checked his phone. 9:30 exactly. He turned, captivated by a group of people dressed as the Captain Planet team, and then by a woman wearing the most amazing fake eyelashes he'd ever seen, in some sort of long black get-up. He didn't recognize the costume, but other people obviously did, running up to her for photos and posing. "Hell," said Merlin, scanning the crowd, for a blonde guy in jeans and, I don't know, a shirt, whatever's clean. "You couldn't have been more specific." "Merlin!" yelled a female voice. "Merlin!" He turned, and suddenly had himself an armful of Uhura. "It's Guinevere," she said, giving him a little squeeze. "Look at you! Aren't you a catch? You should have mentioned that you're a little bit gorgeous."
"When you said Star Trek, I was thinking a red shirt," said Merlin.
"Well, it's red," said Guinevere, doing a little twirl. "You like? It took me an hour and a half to do my hair."
"Me too," said Merlin, gesturing to his own hair. She laughed.
"I gather you got your room key?" "Meh, my stuff's still in the car," she said. "I love these things. I love the way everyone is just a dirty, dirty nerd, and we can all be nerds together. This is your first, right?"
"Right," said Merlin, as another Uhura gave Guinevere a wave.
"So, who are you going for photos with? I must have Carl. Must, must, must. And JCB."
"I take terrible photos," said Merlin. "I was going to save my money in case I wanted a plastic sword or something." And because photo ops were expensive, and the hotel and the cocktail party thing had pretty much cleaned him out. He checked his phone. 9:38. "Okay, don't panic. He's probably just late."
"Good plan," she said. "I like the photos. It's sort of proof, I guess. So where's Pendragon?"
"I don't know," said Merlin quietly.
"He said he'd meet us here at 9:30. I got the early bus in to be on time." "The traffic was a nightmare getting in," said Guinevere. "He's probably caught in it. And, Merlin, can I ask a favour?"
"Yep,"
said Merlin, and she handed him a pile of notes with a post-it on top. "Can you hold our place and get my stuff if you get to the front of the line? It's on the list. I was in that traffic jam for a long time."
"Huh?" Merlin asked, and then he worked it out.
"Oh, sure thing. I think the loos are out near the little cafe thing." "You're a superstar," she said, ducking out through the crowd, leaving Merlin to look around feeling a bit lost and alone.
His watch kept ticking on as he checked out the crowds. He wasn't out of place in his geeky shirt. There were plenty of them, and plenty more people dressed as anime characters or sci-fi heroes. Really surreal stuff, like a weeping angel getting her photo taken with Bender, and three guys dressed as the goodies chasing someone else dressed as the Black Knight. He checked his email on his phone. No new messages, and nothing interesting on the meme or on LJ. And it was 9:45, and Arthur wasn't here yet. Merlin's pulse picked up when he heard someone making their way down the queue, checking the groups of people. Merlin looked up when he was a few people away, and heard him explaining as he approached Merlin.
"Excuse me," said the guy. "Sorry, I'm late, and I'm looking for someone."
He was about Merlin's age, blondish, wearing jeans and a red shirt. But there was something there.
"Arthur?" asked Merlin, his heart pounding so hard it felt like it was hitting his ribs.
The guy stood back and looked at Merlin, took in his green shoes and his shirt, and finally his face.
"Merlin?" asked Arthur.
Hi, said Merlin, with a little wave.
"Merlin," Arthur said, faintly.
Yeah.
"Holy fuck," said Arthur.
"This is a good holy fuck or a bad one?" Merlin asked, his heart so heavy that he was sure Arthur must be able to see his pulse in his neck.
"I wasn't expecting," said Arthur.
"You?"
"What were you expecting?" asked Merlin, because he certainly hadn't been expecting Arthur to look, well, gorgeous.
"I don't know," said Arthur, just staring at him. "Look, it was a bit of a long drive. I think I might just..."
"Excuse me,"
and he left. Merlin was still holding Guinevere's cash for the photo ops, and he didn't really know what to do. If he left the line, he'd lose their place, and he didn't exactly want to crowd Arthur. He didn't want to make him uncomfortable or anything. But what if this was his chance, and he was fucking it up because Arthur wanted him to follow? These things were always so easy and thick. The potential boyfriend chased the other potential boyfriend down, slammed him up against the wall, and kissed him soundly. Arthur looked kind of muscly. Merlin didn't like his chances of slamming him up against a wall.
"I don't care if this is TMI, that is so much better," said Guinevere, slapping him on the back.
Merlin jumped a mile at the unexpected contact, but he was so relieved for an entirely different reason.
"You're back," said Merlin. "Thank God."
"Merlin?" asked Gwen.
"What is it?
You look like you're about to throw up."
Merlin thrust the cash into her hands and shook his head.
"Please, please, please forgive me," said Merlin. "I really, really need to go and chase someone." Only there were a billion people, or it felt like it. He slipped past someone dressed as the comic book guy, nearly crashed headlong into the Mad Hatter, and looked hurriedly around the cafe. Nope. Went up the corridor to the loos, and got dirty looks when he looked and then exited again. Went out into the court, and saw a red-shirted man sitting on the edge of a garden bed, head in his hands. Merlin nearly turned around and went back to Guinevere. Nearly took his band off and caught the next bus out, because, God, this was going to be awful. If he kept seeing Arthur around all weekend, and Arthur had hated him on sight. But he took in a deep breath, because if his father had convinced his mother to run away, temporarily, to Spain, and have a little dark-haired baby who would, one day, be a great big dark-haired geek, then surely Merlin could convince Arthur to spend a little time with him. He walked up to Arthur and stood there.
Arthur?
Arthur rubbed his face, looking at Merlin. Merlin, I'm sorry, I just needed some air.
Arthur, I... Merlin said. I was going to tell you.
By the way, I'm a guy? Asked Arthur, running his hand through his hair.
Merlin, you know I didn't want to seem like I was only after you for your dick, said Merlin.
And then he winced.
I actually just said that, didn't I?
You did, said Arthur, looking straight up at him. He was clearly trying to keep a straight face. Merlin.
Oh my God, I just invoked your dick in a conversation that was meant to be reassuring, said Merlin. I am such a creeper.
Arthur laughed. It was a light, gentle laugh, and he threw back his head and exposed his neck. And never mind that Merlin would like to lick that exposed neck. He was laughing, and it was contagious, and Merlin laughed too. I believe you owe me a hug, said Arthur, standing. I didn't know if you still wanted it, given that I turned out to be a monumental liar. Well, creeper on your journal who withheld vital information about himself. I have read every entry in your journal twice, trying to get the answer, said Arthur. I don't think I have much of a leg to stand on here. It was an awkward hug for the first 5 seconds, all arms in the wrong place and fingers against ribs, and then Arthur shifted his chin onto Merlin's shoulder, pressing their cheeks together, and it was suddenly the best hug Merlin had ever had. Arthur's chest was pressed against his, and Merlin squeezed, hearing Arthur gasp. "Told you I'd hug the breath out of you," said Merlin. Arthur laughed, a soft chuckle that reverberated through Merlin's chest. "I'm such an idiot," he said warmly, his face close to Merlin's ear. He broke the hug, holding Merlin's shoulders. "I'm such an idiot, Merlin, if that's your real name." "You're not an idiot, and it is," said Merlin, fishing for his wallet. "I can show you on my license and everything." Arthur smiled again, brilliant as the sun. "It's fine. I believe you. Come on, let's get our stuff and find Lance and get in line for the first panel, yeah?" Arthur put a companionable arm around Merlin's shoulder, but the crowd was starting to thicken, and they pulled apart to get back to Guinevere, who had advanced in the line only a little way.
"Glad we got in early," said Arthur. "Sorry, I'm Arthur."
"Guinevere," she said, shaking his hand. "You're taller than you seem online."
"I do try to use fonts that accentuate my height," said Arthur, and Gwen laughed. "So, Merlin, I've planned the day for us. I use the online guide. We've got the Camelot panel and then one for Sherlock, and I'd like to go to that because then I thought you'd like the panel with Scott Sigler because I know he's been doing some really interesting things with digital publishing and you mentioned you were interested in going into the industry once you'd..." He trailed off. "I'm being pushy, aren't I? I factored in time for autographs and photo ops and lunch."
"You've organised everything, and you couldn't even tell me what you were wearing?"
said Merlin, as Guinevere shook her head.
"I said I'd take care of you," said Arthur, and it took all of Merlin's self-control not to throw himself at the man. So, what do you think?
I think you two are going to be deliriously happy together, said Guinevere. And we're at the front of the line.
Merlin hovered as Arthur bought tickets for the photo ops. You're not going to?
I take terrible photos.
Not sure if he should apologise for Gwen, or if that was weird and made it look like he and Gwen were together, or what. Arthur forked out a truly ridiculous amount of cash for the right to get autographs and photos, and the three of them made their way to the line for entry to the panel. Cons, Merlin realised, meant cues. Arthur's phone rang. Over waiting by the panel. I got your stuff. Yeah, I can see you. Come over. Merlin saw someone in a blue-shirted Spock costume, and his heart sank as the guy walked over to them. He was gorgeous. Even with fake pointy ears and weird eyebrows, he was gorgeous. He was about to say something when the guy arrived, but Arthur did it for him. This is Lance, said Arthur, and Guinevere turned around to say hi. If there was ever a moment for the Romeo and Juliet overture, that was the moment. Guinevere dropped her handbag and stared at Lance.
Hi, she said.
Hi, he replied, raising his hand in the traditional Vulcan greeting. Would you like me to help you get that?
Yeah, she said. This skirt is a little, short, for crawling around on the floor in.
Arthur met Merlin's eyes, and from the twitch in his cheeks, he was barely able to contain a grin as the two members of the Enterprise crew gathered up the stuff that had fallen out of Guinevere's bag.
You look awfully familiar, said Lance, as they straightened up.
Guinevere nodded.
So do you.
Maybe your costumes are just that good, asked Arthur. Keys, please. Lance dug around in his pocket and produced some car keys. He was so worried about how late we were that he made me park his car, said Lance. You're lucky I like you, Pendragon. A few people turned, and Arthur went pink.
Don't, he hissed.
It was too late. People around them were whispering.
Oh my god, is that really Pendragon? Oh my god, he's gorgeous!
And Merlin could see the expression on Arthur's face, even though the four of them were getting squashed together in the line. He reached out a hand and brushed his fingertips along the back of Arthur's, and then Arthur grabbed his hand tightly, twining their fingers together. Merlin squeezed when the girls in front of him turned around. One was wearing a Camelot t-shirt, the other a long medieval dress.
Sorry to intrude, but did he just call you Pendragon? Like, Pendragon from LJ?
Yeah, said Arthur, and Merlin kept a tight hold of his hand. I'm just, you know, here at a con, doing con things.
Oh my god, said the one in the t-shirt. Oh my god, oh my god! You have no idea how much I love your stuff! I've been the biggest stan for you since you were in the Potter fandom! You have to sign my autograph book!
I what? Arthur asked.
Seriously, this is like a dream come true for her, said her friend. Don't ruin the moment.
I, Arthur said. What do you want me to sign as? Pendragon? The girl proffered the book, and Arthur disentangled himself from Merlin's hand to flip through it.
This is the author's page, she said,
and Arthur balked. I can't sign on the same page as Terry Pratchett, he said. I'm just a guy on the internet.
Sign it, you cruel, cruel man, said Lance,
and Arthur signed it, giving the girl a hug when he gave it back. He was pretty much the colour of his red shirt, and he shuffled awkwardly back next to Merlin as the doors were opened. They half-filled a row of seats as the four of them sat down, Merlin on the end, next to Arthur, who leaned close to talk.
He does this, murmured Arthur. Thinks he has to keep me on my toes and aware of my own shit by pushing my boundaries.
Does it work? Merlin asked.
Most of the time I completely fail to notice, said Arthur, as the MC was calling people to attention and explaining that there were to be no flash or video cameras and nothing that could be used as a recording device, but cameras without a flash were okay, and Merlin settled in to watch the show.
If we're all princesses, who's going to be queen? Morgan of Camelot posted in Stars Camelot. SFX Weekender,
So, Sister Blister and I are doing the big weekend, and the first Camelot panel finished not that long ago. Sadly, they banned recording of the panelists. I guess they learned their lesson with Barrowman last year, and they wouldn't even let me get my notebook out, so you've got our memories. We're sitting in the cafe grabbing some lunch, so if there's any LJers at the con, just look for the blonde and the brunette with a computer and all the coffee in the world. So, what we wanted to know. Is there anything between JCB and Ava? They both giggled at this, and then they looked at each other and giggled again. Adorable. And then Ava said, no, nothing, and before you ask, there's nothing between Jamie and Tamsin either. And when someone asked if there was anything between Jay Fiennes and JCB, and swear to God, they looked at each other, and then Jay Fiennes patted JCB on the knee and said, wouldn't you like to know? And JCB was red as a tomato, and Ava couldn't stop laughing. Definitely something going on there, without a doubt. Do they get up to any pranks on set? The girls are the worst pranksters, according to the boys. They told this hilarious story about Ava and Tamsin setting up this really elaborate scheme to make people think that the crystal in the crystal cave was fossilized ice, and a number of the extras bought it. Never leave your phone where the girls can get it, was what JCB said, and from the cackle Ava gave, I believe him. What was it like for JCB getting to kiss all the fine ladies? Boy is way too easily embarrassed. He stammered his way through this one until Jay Fiennes grabbed the mic and said, he'd rather be kissing me. And I swear to God, the smouldering look that passed between them. My age difference, Kink. Allow me to show you it. What could they tell us about Arthur and Merlin in S2? Arthur is going to have some difficult times. People he thought he could trust will betray him, and he's going to have to forge an allegiance that will lead to terrible consequences for himself and all of Albion. And Merlin is going to endure one of the more horrible things that happened to him in the Legends, but they weren't specific. Could be anything from being a tree to the Crystal Caves, but my money is on him becoming the Wild Man, because JCB mentioned an epic battle mid-season. So much to work with! We've got to go and get ready for the cocktail party with the stars tonight, so that's it for this update. Definitely all the goss after this evening. It's at a secret off-site venue, so the only people getting in there are the ones with tickets. Jealous? Of course you are. Reply from Green Girdle. Thanks for this. Got my spies there, but they're yet to check in. I'm hoping it's because they're having too much fun to stop. Reply from Percy Percy Percy. So, did we get any news about Tamsin for S2? Any expansion on scheduling conflicts as to why she wasn't there this time? Reply from Morgan of Camelot. There were people asking about that, but the answer was non-committal. Reply from Sister Blister. I'm going to butt in here. There was, as always, a totally obnoxious group up near the front who kept on monopolizing the mic with questions about the character arcs and what Guinevere's role would be, and whether Merlin's occasional anachronisms were part of a longer thing. It was obvious they had no idea that the actors can't talk about these things under their contracts. Reply from Percy, Percy, Percy. Right. Thanks. It's terrible that they let douchebags into these cons, isn't it? Reply from Green Girdle. IKR. Anyway, I found a YouTube link for a con vid, if anyone cares. Here.
Ooh. Come on, come on, come on. Load, 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 load.
Oh, what?
The panels were amazing. Melon had known they would be, but Arthur was cocky and he asked questions. And he had an expensive camera that he turned on Merlin when Ava Green called Merlin cute, and Merlin blushed to the roots of his hair and the tips of his toes. Arthur was a warm, excited presence beside him, and he dragged Merlin off to get photos taken, while Guinevere and Lance went to the Carl Urban panel. "You're sure you're not interested in seeing him?" said Arthur. "I can get these done later." "I'm sure," said Merlin, because Guinevere had given him a sneaky thumbs up when they parted, and he knew she didn't want him there just as much as he'd rather be out here with Arthur. "So, you're really called Merlin," said Arthur, checking his emails as they waited in the official photo queue. "And you're really called Arthur," said Merlin, as Arthur tapped a quick response to something. "It's why I was interested in the Legends in the first place. People used to give me books and things about magical kids, because I guess they believe in nominative determinism."
I know what you mean, said Arthur. I was so happy to see a character called Arthur when I first read The Sword and the Stone that I made Lance be Kay whenever we played it.
Oh, cruel, said Merlin.
He was always a very nice Kay, said Arthur. He's going to save the world one day, one person at a time.
And you? Asked Merlin.
It sounds stupid, said Arthur. But I like my life as it is now. I mean, the Fanish stuff isn't saving the world or making my dad happy. But I'd be lying if I said it wasn't fun.
How are things between you and your dad? Asked Merlin.
Arthur shifted uncomfortably.
Strained, he said, but functioning.
He's promised not to set me up on any more dates if I get myself a boyfriend. Which is better than I could have hoped for, really.
You shouldn't have to hope, said Merlin, and Arthur nodded.
Yeah, but I love him. Sometimes, a lot of the time, in spite of the things he does, rather than because of them.
Merlin nodded, wondering if it would be grossly inappropriate to hug Arthur again.
What about you?
Huh?
Merlin asked.
You talk about your mum a lot, but you've never said anything about your dad.
Oh, said Merlin. It's just me and mum. I think she'll want to meet you.
Me? Asked Arthur, lacing his fingers through Merlin's.
I might have said some things, Merlin mumbled.
Arthur squeezed his hand, and Merlin looked up at him right as the photographer's attendant said, Next! And it was Arthur's turn for a photo.
Come on, said Arthur.
I don't, Merlin said.
Come on.
Joseph Fiennes was smiling at him, and Merlin felt his heart stutter. He'd been a little afraid that he'd just freak the hell out and run and hide, but the photographer's assistants were ushering them in, all a little bit like school photos, but with Merlin there. The TV Merlin, instead of Mrs. Taylor telling him to smile and make sure he smoothed his hair down, and not to smile funny.
Hi, guys, said Fiennes. So, one on either side?
Now, just look at the camera and smile, both of you, said the photographer.
One, two, three.
Merlin was pretty sure he was doing his stupid smile, the one where his eyes went all crinkly, but then it was over, and they were gently but firmly ushered out.
And now we wait, said Arthur.
That was fast, said Merlin. I wasn't expecting it to be so fast.
I'll warn you that I'm probably pulling a stupid face, said Arthur. I have a remarkable propensity for pulling stupid faces in photographs.
That's why you never posted one of yourself online, said Merlin.
Ding! Gold star for you, said Arthur. We've got 20 minutes before the next panel. Let's wait for the print.
Wait with you? For 20 minutes?
I don't know, said Merlin.
And Arthur sat down next to the back of one of the booths, patting the carpet beside him. Merlin sat, pressed close to Arthur's side.
I'm sure I can think of something to entertain ourselves before the others get back, he said. I don't know about you, but my email is a mess right now. I've got 150 messages I've not replied to.
Merlin got out his phone.
Hey, 20 new messages. That's a record for me, he said. Never mind that most of them were tracking threads on the Anon memes.
He'd been tracking the really nasty Pendragon one, and he'd been desperate to jump in and say, No, no, he's not like that at all. But he knew better than to engage.
Huh. You got Arthur and that stupid quiz thing. I got Guinevere, said Merlin. Until I went through and picked all the Merlin answers.
You didn't just pick them all on the first go-through? Asked Arthur.
No, I wanted to see what I'd get, said Merlin.
Wait, did you rig the test? Did the great Pendragon rig his result?
Absolutely not, said Arthur, straight-faced. Merlin laughed, resting his head on Arthur's shoulder, hoping like anything that Arthur wouldn't flinch away.
You cheat, he said, and Arthur laughed, putting a hand on Merlin's knee.
I shall slowly teach you the ways of the BNF, young one, he said.
Photos here for Janie, Arthur, Sarek, Susan, Tom, and Tian.
Arthur stirred. Aha! Photo is ready. It's like some sort of factory machine, said Merlin, as Arthur hopped to his feet and gave Merlin a hand up before they made their way to the desk next to the operator.
Precisely, said Arthur, photo in hand.
Voila! For you, a memento.
Merlin was doing his embarrassing, crinkly smile, and Arthur was smiling with his eyes and teeth a little too wide. It was glorious. "I can't accept this. It's yours," he said. "Course you can. Scan it in for me if you're worried," said Arthur. "You're not worried, are you?"
"I think thrilled would be more appropriate," said Merlin, and Arthur gave him a soft look.
Merlin's hands were a bit shaky, because this was... Arthur was giving him a photo. Arthur was trusting him with a photo when he'd been like a startled rabbit when those girls wanted his autograph.
Merlin hugged him, spontaneously, to keep from jumping out of his skin.
"Get a room, you two," said a voice. And Lance and Guinevere were back. Lance continued, "And not the room I'm sharing with Arthur."
"Very funny," said Arthur.
"Time for the Sherlock panel already?"
"You know it," Lance replied.
"Was Carl good?" asked Merlin.
"To die for," said Guinevere. "I think I actually did. Like, died and gone to nerd heaven."
"I think I might have too," said Merlin quietly, clutching the photo tightly as the four of them made their way past a whole brace of Holmeses and on to the next panel.
"The dirtiest clean I know. L. Yeah, posted in L. Yeah's Ramblings. Friends only. OMG, I couldn't keep this to myself, but I'm trusting you guys to keep it off the meme. So you know how Ready to Go and I are at the SFX thing? We totally met Pendragon. No word of a lie. And I can see why he doesn't post his pic online. OMG, he's a damn sight better looking than your usual fanboy. And yes, ladies, definitely a guy. He's all blonde and blue-eyed and fit and everything. I should have got my camera out. I did the dorkiest thing, too. Asked for his autograph. But hello, it's Pendragon! Still swooning. Reply from Ready to Go. I still cannot believe we met him. So random. Wouldn't have happened if that guy behind us hadn't practically yelled his name. And so adorable when he got flustered. OMG. Reply from Percy, Percy, Percy. I would have asked for his autograph too, Al. And OMG, blonde-haired and blue-eyed and fit? Dies. Reply from, I'm afraid not. Was he on his own or were there other people with him? Is curious. Reply from, L, yeah. Looked like he had a couple of friends with him, mostly guys. How? Where are all the guys in fandom? And this one girl, but we didn't talk. Reply from, I'm afraid not. Smiley face. SMS from Elian.
How's the con, bro?
SMS from Lance. Unbelievable. Looks like this guy Arthur's head over heels for might actually be good for him. Thank fuck. SMS from Elian.
Well, thank God.
SMS from Lance.
I know.
SMS from Elian. Hey, my sister texted me to say she was there. You mind trying to meet up with her? She's got my spare keys and there was an incident with my old keys. SMS from Lance.
An incident?
SMS from Elian. Forgot to take them out of my pocket when using the portable loo down at the site. SMS from Lance. And you got into the house how? And fine, tell her I'm in room 303 at the Con Hotel. What's her name? SMS from Elian. Climbed in through your bedroom window. You left it open. SMS from Elian. Gwen. SMS from Lance. She wouldn't happen to be in a rather attractive Uhura costume, would she? SMS from Elian.
Lancelot, if you fuck my sister, we will have words.
SMS from Lance. So, I'll get your keys.
TTYL.
Arthur got to use the bathroom first that evening. He shaved, put on his only other unembarrassing shirt, and then sat and worried at his hair and checked his emails on the bed in the hotel room he was sharing with Lance. Merlin and Guinevere were just down the corridor, and they'd vanished off to their room, but the four of them had promised to share a taxi to the secret destination for the cocktail party. Actually, just a pretentious little bar in town. He sighed, propping his back up against the bedhead with lumpy hotel pillows, checking out LJ on his phone. Camelot Anon was having a field day analysing the con reports, and thank God no one had claimed to have spotted him yet. Merlin hadn't written an entry, which was kind of disappointing. It would have been so much easier if Merlin had written something like, "Met this friend from online today, and I would very much like for him to kiss me. Okay, thanks! M XXXX." Merlin was nothing like Arthur had thought he'd be. He'd been prepared for pretty much anything except for gorgeous. He knew he wasn't that bad-looking himself. He was pretty normal. Nothing to write home about either way. Wonky teeth, a tendency to acne balanced out by decent bone structure, and blue eyes. Kept fit because Lance and the boys liked to get out and train. Merlin, on the other hand, looked a lot like adorable and a bit like a baby Benedict Cumberbatch. Enough people had stopped them during the day to tell him that Arthur had considered telling him to change his shirt to one that read, "I am actually terribly shy. Don't talk to me at all." And he was just a little bit touchy-feely, too. Arthur had nearly died when Merlin rested his head on Arthur's shoulder or reached out reassuringly for his hand. He was 98% to 99% sure that if he kissed Merlin, Merlin would kiss back. He liked those odds. "Stop it! I can hear you thinking from over here," said Lance from the bathroom, the door open to help the pathetic little extractor fan get rid of the steam. "Relax. I think you might have actually managed to find the only person in fandom who will put up with you and your neuroses."
"Says the Spock who found his Uhura," said Arthur, with a grin. "What are the odds?" "I told you, love at first sight." Lance paused. "Though, you know how I said she was familiar?" "This isn't going to be good, is it?" Arthur asked.
"No, it's totally weird. You know how Elian has a sister? There's a photo of him and her up in the sitting room. That's where I know her from.
And I think we met at the housewarming last year. She's at uni up north. Has just come down for the con." "Oh my god, it can't be."
Lance leaned out of the bathroom, shaking his head.
"It is a very small world."
There was a knock at the door. Arthur put his phone aside and went to look out the peephole.
"You coming?"
Merlin asked from the other side of the door. He undid the chain and the lock and opened the door.
"Sorry, Lance just has to curl his underarm here," said Arthur, and Merlin laughed. "Gwen's on the way. Her brother called. Seem he dropped his keys into one of those portable toilets."
"Ugh," said Arthur. "Come in. You don't have to wait in the corridor." In his peripheral vision, he saw Lance pointedly closing the bathroom door, giving them a little bit of privacy.
"So, you look good," said Merlin, sitting on the bed. "Who'd have known you'd scrub up so well?"
Thanks, said Arthur, suddenly nervous. He stuck his hands behind his back, just in case they were shaking and giving him away. "Want a drink? Tea? Water? Anything?"
"I'm fine," said Merlin, "and we're about to go out for cocktails."
He patted the bed beside him.
"Come sit. Lance won't be much longer, will he?"
Arthur misjudged how soft the bed was when he sat, and he ended up a lot closer to Merlin than he intended to. But Merlin was looking at him. Just looking. And Arthur offered him a smile.
"You scrub up pretty well yourself, you know," he said, reaching out a hand to gently drag his fingers against Merlin's cheek.
Merlin exhaled, his eyes fluttering momentarily closed.
"Tease," Merlin said, barely audible.
"Merlin, I..." said Arthur, brushing his fingers along Merlin's jaw. Merlin exhaled, his Adam's apple bobbing when he swallowed.
"Can I..."
Merlin traced Arthur's neck with his own fingertips. "You can do whatever you want," he said, and pressed his lips to Arthur's, curling his fingers at the back of Arthur's neck to shift them closer. Arthur's hand slid to Merlin's waist, feeling his warm skin through the smooth fabric of his shirt as Merlin licked Arthur's teeth, coaxing his mouth open, bringing them closer together. He leaned over Merlin, pressing him down onto the bed, and... there was a loud and somewhat pointed cough.
"Not now."
Arthur broke the kiss, but kept hold of Merlin as Lance gave them a mock stern look.
"Come on, you two," said Lance. "You'll hate yourselves in the morning if you miss cocktails."
"Speak for yourself," said Arthur, and Merlin laughed as Arthur led him up from the bed.
"Is my hair all flat at the back?"
Merlin asked, as there was another knock on the door. Arthur looked, and tentatively ran his fingers through the flat patch so that it matched the rest of Merlin's
probably carefully styled scruff.
Not any more. Looks perfect to me, he said, and Merlin pressed another quick, breathless kiss to Arthur's mouth.
Excellent, he said, and he stood, offering Arthur his hand. Let's go.
Twitter. What's happening? Real-time results for SFX Camelot Party hashtag. At Morgan of Camelot. OMG, if we have to wait much longer for someone to get here who isn't a fat fangirl, I am going to just leave. SFX Camelot Party hashtag. SFX Weekender hashtag. 20 seconds ago, via iPhone. At Slash Dragon. Aww, cutest gay couple just came in. Love it when boys in real life are all handsy with each other. SFX Camelot Party hashtag. SFX Weekender hashtag. Hot boys are love hashtag. Half a minute ago, via TweetDeck for iPhone. At Fairy Queen 2020. The queues! After queuing all day, I didn't think I'd have to queue to get in here. Poor form, SFX. SFX Camelot Party hashtag. SFX Weekender hashtag. Fail hashtag. Half a minute ago, via Echophone. At Ready to Go. OMG, someone I know, please reply me. I know there's so many of us going tonight, and I'm stuck back at the hotel. No cabs! SFX Camelot Party hashtag. SFX Weekender hashtag. Fail hashtag. 1 minute ago, via Tweety for Mac. At Katrina Cat. So jealous of you guys who are there tonight. Goss, please. K, thanks. SFX Camelot Party hashtag. 1 minute ago, via Twitroid. At Morgan of Camelot. So glad we got here early. Got a good table. It's such a cute little bar. SFX Camelot Party hashtag. SFX Weekender hashtag. 1 minute ago via iPhone. Click to read more.
The internet!
The bar was small, pretentious, and so dark that it was difficult to see who was sitting at the same table as you, let alone anyone across the room. Merlin wondered if that was a deliberate strategy to dissuade people from trying to take photographs. He didn't really go to bars. This is shit, said Arthur, returning from the main bar and handing Merlin a bottle of cider. We totally shouldn't have paid for this. Come on, said Merlin. JCB? Ava? Joseph? Shut up, Merlin, said Arthur, holding out his beer bottle. They clinked necks. God, weirdest weekend of my life. Good weird or bad weird? Good, said Arthur, shifting closer to Merlin. Definitely good. Just weird. Where did the other two go? Gwen had to give Lance Ellion's keys, said Merlin. And that required them to leave the table?
I think you misunderstand the idea of a euphemism.
That's a terrible euphemism, said Arthur. It implies a creepy, incestual threesome.
You come up with a better one, said Merlin. You're the writer.
You're supposed to take issue with my phrasing.
Hi there!
Merlin froze. It was Ava Green, close enough to touch.
I'm Ava, this is Joe and Jamie. We're meant to go around to all the tables and say hi, said Ava.
Hey, you're the one from the Q&A, aren't you?
Who asked me about the Morgana Le Fay of legend?
Hi, said Merlin, and Arthur squeezed his knee. Hi, he said. I'm Arthur, and this is Merlin. Get out, said Jamie. Real names? Merlin fumbled for his wallet and pulled out his license. Real name, he said, showing it to the guy. Oh God, he'd just done the license into JCB. Oh my fucking God. Joe, look at this. He's you. Hippie parents, Merlin said. Fiennes shook Merlin's hand. I am honored to meet another Merlin, he said. I would also be honored if you could tell me where you got that cider.
I'll organize you one, said their minder. It's not really cocktails, is it? Said Ava. I don't know. When we do these things in the States, there's usually a bit more light.
Had a long day? Asked Arthur, because Merlin was staring at Joseph and trying not to hyperventilate.
Yeah, pretty long. I only got in from filming at Tunisia last night, and it's been go, go, go since then. The boys have been in London longer, haven't you, boys? Asked Ava.
I love it when you call me a boy. Makes me feel all tingly inside, said Joseph, and Jamie shook his head. And you wonder why people write things about you on the internet, he said. So, you two are fans, then?
Yeah, we met online, said Merlin. But we're not freaks or crazy stalkers, honestly.
So you make freaky dirty pictures, or you write freaky dirty stories? Asked Joseph, and Merlin got the distinct impression that he'd probably had a few before the night had started.
Joe, said Ava.
No, it's okay, said Arthur. I mean, people asked you about it today. It's not like you don't know. It's like this thing, said Jamie. I mean, we pretend people don't do it, and they pretend people don't do it. Unless you work on Supernatural. I saw those guys at Comic-Con. They're insane.
There was something about the way he said it. Something that was not understanding, but not condemnatory.
Merlin took a chance. You've read some, then, he said.
Yeah, said Jamie.
He looked at his co-stars. What, like you haven't? There was this one about the Crystal Caves. I scrolled past all the fucking, but it was... I don't know. There was a scene where Merlin was turned into a crystal, and Arthur tried to break it open. It was... I don't know. I don't think it's all shit.
Merlin felt Arthur freeze beside him. Freeze and go stiff as a board as the other two actors teased Jamie about reading fic. And they could have been admitting to having a big, kinky, whole cast orgy right then and there. But Merlin was focused on Arthur. Arthur, who looked like he was about to have some sort of panic attack.
All right, kids, time to move on, said the staff member. You know, this would be easier if you split up.
We're not leaving Joe on his own. He'll do something terrible, said Ava.
Well, we might see you later then. Have a good evening.
It was lovely to meet you, said Merlin.
Bye, said Joseph, picking up his cider. Come on, Jamie.
Jamie was the last to leave, and he looked at them strangely.
Did he write it? He asked. I remember it was a guy that wrote it. It was good. Bye.
Bye, said Merlin, because Arthur was still frozen.
Arthur. Arthur.
He read my blog, said Arthur, and Merlin curled a few strands of Arthur's hair behind his ear.
You don't quite seem to get that you're an internet celebrity, said Merlin, kissing his temple.
It's okay. He liked it.
He read my blog.
Don't go catatonic on me, said Merlin. Come on, kiss me. Arthur kissed him, his hands warm on Merlin's cheeks, and then he rested his forehead against Merlin's. I shouldn't have said anything about this weekend being the weirdest of my life, he said quietly. I think it just got weirder.
Excuse me, said someone, and there were three girls in party frocks standing next to their table. It's just... my friend over there said you were Pendragon.
Lies, I am not, said Merlin. But Arthur went pink.
I... said Arthur. I'm called that on LJ, yeah.
Oh my god, you are Pendragon! Said the girl, and everyone around their table was silent.
And then there was noise. Arthur shifted slightly closer to Merlin as their table was invaded by girls, and Merlin remembered blog posts where Arthur had confessed to being a bit of a private person, and his personal best buddy bodyguard was snogging Guinevere over in the corner.
Merlin put a comforting hand on Arthur's knee. His heart still stuttered when Arthur put a hand over Merlin's and twined their fingers together, squeezing. He wasn't sure he was ever going to get used to this.
And who's this?
Asked another girl, sliding in next to Merlin.
This is Merlin, said Arthur. My, friend.
Your beta? Asked one of the girls.
Arthur looked panicked.
What?
Oh my god, are you out on a date with your beta?
So, said Merlin, because it was hopelessly obvious that they knew him, even if he didn't know them.
What are your LJ names?
I'm ready to go, said the nearest, and she looked a bit familiar. She must have been someone he'd seen around today.
Slash Dragon, said another. Fairy Queen 2020.
Beastie Bite, said another.
Another realm.
I'm Merlin Is, said Merlin. But, I think you already got that.
Oh my god, this is like amazing, said Fairy Queen 2020. We get to meet the stars and Pendragon in one night.
What? Asked Arthur.
And you two, look at you, you're adorable, said Beastie Bite. I wish I had my camera.
No photos, said Merlin. I mean, please don't. He recognized all the names. Regular posters on Arthur's LJ, regular figures and wreckers. Slash Dragon's Destiny Revealed series had the most horrible photoshopped banners that Merlin had ever seen, but did pretty damn well in terms of racking up comment counts. Arthur was floundering.
Yeah.
So where do you get your ideas? Asked another realm. Like, your brain? Oh my god, I just want to have sex with it.
Please don't, said Arthur.
Yeah, that would be kind of messy, said Ready to Go. I'm pretty sure I've read fic where someone had sex with someone else's brain, said Beastie Bite. It was sort of damaging to my psyche.
Oh my god, so which is your favourite fic? Asked Fairy Queen 2020. I mean, if you just had to pick one.
And your favourite character? Asked another realm.
Screw that! Favourite ship and why? Asked Slash Dragon. I'm so sorry to do this to you, said Arthur, but I really need to go to the loo.
I'll follow you, said Merlin, quickly. There was an awkward shuffle to get out, and Arthur went straight for the sink, washing his face.
You okay?
I just sort of panicked, said Arthur. I prefer to make a tactical retreat when I have cause to panic.
I know, Merlin replied, moving closer so that he could hug Arthur.
They meant well. I probably would have jumped you like that if I didn't know you.
Would you? Arthur asked.
Are you kidding? I've been mad about you since before you even knew me, said Merlin.
In an entirely not creepy and not stalkerish way, said Arthur, as Merlin stroked his back.
Hey, you're the one who contacted me, said Merlin, kissing him.
You're ready to go, aren't you?
I'm sorry, said Arthur. If you want to stay and see if you can talk to the cast some more.
He liked your fic, said Merlin.
I am never going to publish anything ever again, said Arthur, and Merlin ran his fingers through Arthur's hair.
Of course you are, he said. You're brilliant. You're just freaking out.
I don't know, said Arthur. It never feels that big when you're writing it. It feels like you're just sitting in a room with a bunch of friends. And then something like this comes along and reminds you.
Merlin bent Arthur's head and kissed his forehead.
Let's go back to the hotel, he said. I'd rather have this conversation somewhere nicer than the toilet.
Arthur let Merlin usher him downstairs and out onto the street as Merlin tried to work out what to do. Lance would be in Arthur's room later, and Guinevere in Merlin's, so that was out. They could go down to the restaurant and get some coffee, he supposed, and work it out from there. His phone dinged.
SMS from Gwen. Sorry, Sunshine. Lance and I are in our room. Row, Mr. Spock.
Oh, okay. That made things easier. The air out here was bracing, and Merlin shivered, Arthur taking deep, calming breaths. He seemed a lot happier now that they'd escaped.
So, said Merlin, I've got a message from Gwen. Looks like she and Lance have gone back to our room for some private cosplay. And here I thought she shipped Kirk Spock.
Funny, said Arthur. I thought he did too. He paused.
So it would seem you need somewhere to stay for the night.
It would, said Merlin, hope making him feel like he could raise off the ground if he tried.
I don't care if this is all a ploy between those two, said Arthur, leaning in close to steal a kiss.
He was definitely feeling better, Merlin thought.
I said I'd take care of you, so you're just going to have to share my room.
I won't be an imposition, Merlin teased, stealing one back.
Let me put it another way. I would be delighted if you would accompany me back to my lodgings, good sir, so that we do not get arrested for public lewdness and indecency.
Merlin laughed.
You seem to still be in shock from learning that you have groupies.
I'm not in shock at all, said Arthur.
I don't think.
You're remarkably insecure, said Merlin. Take a compliment. People like you, and that's okay. I like you.
I'd have never met you if you didn't have your blog and post your fic, or creep around pretending to be a sock puppet called Wart.
I like you too, said Arthur, and he slid one hand up Merlin's neck, tangling in his hair as Arthur crushed their lips together. Merlin whimpered.
No, he didn't. It was a totally involuntary sound that had nothing to do with...
Merlin, said Arthur against his lips. I think we should go back to my hotel room.
Oh my god, yes, said Merlin. Oh my god, yes, please, yes.
Yes would have been enough, said Arthur, twining his fingers with Merlin's as he stepped out to hail a cab.
though if I can get you to repeat, "Oh my God, yes, please," later tonight, I will be a very happy man.
Pratt, said Merlin, tucking his arms around Arthur's waist, his chin over Arthur's shoulder.
Gorgeous, gorgeous Pratt. Oh my God, someone pull over, Arthur said, right now so I can molest you in the back of a cab.
I'm sure you used that line in a fic, said Merlin, as the cab finally pulled up.
You don't get to beta my real life, said Arthur, dragging him into the back seat. The gallivant, please.
I'm so sure that, Merlin began, and Arthur kissed him.
Want to try out some of the other things from my fic? He asked, and Merlin couldn't help the laughter that bubbled up from such a ridiculous pickup line.
You know I do, he said, as Arthur's warm fingers found his waistband and slid against the skin of his hip. I said you could have whatever you want from me.
Even a sexy beta job in a hotel bedroom? Arthur asked.
Even that, said Merlin, as the cab turned a corner towards the hotel.
Someone posted in Camelot anon. Cocktail party thread! Boo, you whores! Taking the party off site. I was hoping for some perving as people went in. Someone said, anything interesting, mice attended? Someone said, rumour that some chick got off with JCB in the toilet in the bar. Someone said, I heard it was Jay Fines. Someone said, I heard it was Benedict Cumberbatch. Someone said, he's not even in Camelot. Someone said, pics or it didn't happen. Someone said, I was there and Pendragon was there with a date, so he's actually a dude, as was his date. Someone said, pics or GTFO? Jesus, how many times do we need to say it? Someone said, no, don't. The guy's obviously tried to keep his personal life offline and his image. Leave him alone. Someone said, I'm a total Pendragon stan, and all I can say is OMFG, squee! Someone said, he's been all but fucking his beta all over his blog for months now. Someone said, really? I read his blog and I didn't pick that up. Someone said, dude, you fucking blind or something? Someone said, obvious troll is obvious. Someone said, pics, http://i56.tinypic.com/2vx5e85.jpg. Someone said, that could be anyone. Troll harder, trolley.
What happens when you actually do share writing and beta duties together on the one laptop, in the middle of a pillow nest? Don't jiggle, you're making the laptop bounce. You like it when I bounce. Not when I'm trying to get you to read. Open up another tab. You are able to open a tab yourself. No, I can't. This is a Mac. I should have known you'd be a creepy Mac user. I should have known you'd be a ginormous entitled ass.
Are you certain about this? Asked Merlin, pressing Arthur's wrist into the bed with one strong hand. Arthur smiled up at him, looking at the lean lines of his muscles, the stubble already on his chin. I've never been more certain about anything, he said, and he shivered when Merlin licked his neck, hot and wet up Arthur's jugular, tasting Arthur's sweat and desperation.
Sweat? Some people like sweat. I have to say I'm not wild about it, unless it's your sweat. And I helped you get sweaty.
Merlin used his free hand to trace a line up Arthur's torso. Rough fingers delicate over his nipples as he bent his head to suck at the sensitive place where the soft skin of neck meets the hard bone of jaw, his cheeks scratching as Arthur let out an involuntary moan, trying to free himself enough to touch Merlin in return, to smooth his hands over the hard planes of Merlin's stomach and chest, to hold Merlin there and keep him.
Hard planes? You're going with hard planes? What's wrong with it? It's in just about every fic ever. If someone licks a stripe up someone else's anything, then I'm going to have to beta this without you in the room.
And if I lick a stripe up your wrist?
That will have no effect on me or my competence if you give me leave to keep scrolling.
I was thinking we might invite Lance into the next document.
Kinky.
Pick up the things you miss.
I get to beta the sex scenes.
Of course you do. They're written for you.
Merlin's weight was low on his hips, crushing their cocks together, and he brought his forehead to Arthur's, his lips so close that Arthur could feel them exchange breaths as Merlin spoke. This is powerful magic, he said. It will bind us in ways you cannot possibly imagine.
you'll be mine, and I will be yours. Guinevere, it's not your concern, said Arthur, leaning up to press his lips to Merlin's. And since she left me for my first night, she is not my concern either. Liar, Merlin replied, his voice only a low rumble in his chest. Know this, Arthur. If you allow me to mark you in this way, you may stray, but a piece of you will be mine. Always mine. Merlin pulled back to study Arthur's face and pushed up against the tension in his arms, getting his back off the bed and arching up against Merlin's strength. He wasn't used to men being stronger than him. He'd never thought that Merlin might be.
Is that physically possible?
Is what physically possible?
Leaning back when you're pinning someone's hands above their head, or leaning up when someone is pinning you like that?
Should be.
Show me.
Is this a ploy for sex?
Would I ever be that shallow?
If you were trying to get sex, yes.
Show me.
All right, but put the laptop somewhere safe this time. I don't think it can survive another plummet off the edge of the bed.
A few months later.
Been reincarnated too many times. Pendragon, posted in Once and Future. So I've changed my Facebook status, and I've signed him into my lease, and it feels a bit dishonest not to tell you guys here as well. It's weird. I think the Facebook status was the biggest thing, like confirming for all the douchebags I knew in school that yes, Pendragon is gay. And yes, he's got his hands on the most gorgeous boy this side of the planet. Best Beloved Beta is annoyed at being demoted to number 2 Best Beloved, but he's a fish. He'll get over it. Best Beloved Beta number 1 reading over my shoulder and complaining about being called a boy. I love him. Now he's complaining that I've typed that I love him before I said it. I love him. So, I haven't got to all the comments on my latest fic yet. I've been busy. Yes, Green Girdle, that kind of busy. I'm so sorry, but if it helps, I'm getting lots of research in for the next fic, and it's going to be a porny epic. Like, boys out questing and fucking, and lots of things I like hair stroking and snuggling like a pair of puppies. Getting some practice in with that. Never thought I'd find someone who got me, you know? He's trying to distract me by kissing my neck, and he's got both hands under my shirt, so totally going to sign off now. Don't even, any of you. Just, I don't know. Be happy for me, yeah? Because I don't think I've ever been this happy, and don't... Fuck, you'll work it out. Peace out. Pendragon. And Mer.Lin, who insists that he gets a mention here now that we're official. Heart.
The end.
Don't go away, my lover. I'm happiest when we spend.
You've just finished listening to Pairing Pendragon / Merlin. If you enjoyed the story, please leave the anonymous writer some feedback at the Merlin Kink Meme Live Journal at merlinkinkmeme.livejournal.com or at the post where you downloaded this podfic from. If you enjoyed my reading of the story, please leave me some feedback at munchinglunch.livejournal.com.
The two songs that were used in this recording were Avenue Q's The Internet is for Porn, for the five of you who haven't heard that song, and Gwen Stefani's The Real Thing.
And lastly, some free talk. So, hello, it's Lunchy.
I first read this because my friend pointed me towards it on GChat, and she thought that I'd written it, and I was like, what are you talking about? Oh, this, she's like, she gave me the summary, and I'm like, oh my god, this would make a great fic. Is somebody writing this? And she's like, oh, I see. And I'm like, oh, no, it wasn't, no. And yeah, it's a good thing I didn't write it, because yeah, this is awesome. So that was, yeah. Well, I remember reading this, and the comment that I left for this fic was that it felt like a love letter to the fandom. It still feels like a love letter to the fandom. It's just so sweet. Mm. So when I was reading that, even, you know, the first time through, I was thinking about how to represent all the different mediums that they used to communicate during the course of the story. Yeah, I was thinking about it, okay? Like, when I was reading this, I was like, yeah, this podfic is totally going to happen. Yeah, there was a few, like, I had a really fun time just scouring, thinking about, like, what kind of sound effects and stuff to use for everything. Especially, like, Arthur's BNF angelic choir lead-in for all of his live journal posts. And the buying for any or the other live journal posts. Sorry, everybody else, got shafted. This is just like a little bit of something that nobody else is going to notice, but I did anyway. I used one keyboard sound for Arthur and one keyboard sound for Merlin. So whenever Arthur is going to type something, the keyboard sound is, the typing is very quick, whereas Merlin's is very slow, because in the story it mentions that, you know, he's not that much of a writer, he's more suited to becoming a beta. And of course my mind was just like, not much of a writer, not a very good typist. So that's where that comes from. So yeah, it's just a little bit of a useless trivia for you. Yeah, there was also a lot of characters, like, not just your primary ones, like, you know, Arthur, Merlin, Gwen, Lance, but there was, like, hundreds of LJ voices and fandom, people from fandom. So that were quite, I don't really have that big a repertoire of voices, but I hope I did enough so that you could differentiate, like, there were enough cues in there that, you know, it wasn't too hard to follow. That was, yeah, whoops. The part that I enjoyed recording the most was definitely, well, the part that I enjoyed constructing the most was Merlin's comment back to Arthur, because, you know, when I was reading it, they were like, oh, those are just, yeah, those are comments that we would totally make, you know, like, oh, I want to have your baby, oh, I love you, kind of stuff. Let's have sex with your brain. but, you know, he's really struggling with this. And you know, when I was recording it, first I just did it quite deadpan or a bit nervous sounding. But then I realized, you know, let's have fun. Like, this could be really sleazy. This could just be, like, really, it could sound really bad. So I did that. I gave him some, like, kind of sleazy music, and I gave him a sleazy reading, and because his mind was going there, he was like, oh god, I don't want to sound like this. So I tried my best to make him sound like that. Sorry, Merlin. But yes, that was the funnest part of this recording for me. Yeah, so thank you for listening all the way to the end. Sorry, I am not very eloquent, but it's unscripted and unedited, so, you know, this is kind of what it sounds like before I do with my editing. Yeah, think about that. All right. thank you. I hope you enjoyed it. Bye.